Thanks for tuning in to the Kevin and Bean Show. Our old friend Mr. Movie Phone is going to be joining us next hour talking about how 3D movies are the death of cinema. Meanwhile, by the way, James Cameron, director of Avatar, says that 3D is going to be the standard within a few years. So what is going to end up happening? I will tell you one thing I do know. If 3D movies start making women pregnant, then I'm going to have to say no. Let's not make 3D movies anymore because this is pretty scary stuff.
A white woman who had a black baby claims that she fell pregnant while watching a porn movie in 3D.
Yay!
The child's father, who is white and serving in the military in Iraq, apparently buys it. Because he really, really wants to.
Now, I find it very difficult to believe that this is a true story. Everything, honestly, I don't know how anyone could come up with that as an excuse, and I certainly don't know how anyone could buy it. But let's just assume for the sake of this discussion that the woman really tried to pull that one over on her husband. Good honor. Nice effort. Seriously, originality.
Really?
Points.
Well, originality, yeah.
You gotta
points.
Do something, right?
Stones.
You gotta do something.
For trying it. By the way, I didn't know there was 3D porn. I'm sure there is, but I wasn't aware of
it. I wasn't either.
She says a month after watching the movie.
How long?
A month.
A month.
Thank you.
After she started watching the movie, I started feeling dizzy and the results were positive, she said.
Wow.
So the dude is on some kind of a satellite phone in Iraq and he's taking fire. You know? And she's like, yeah, you know, I was watching a 3D porn movie and I said, I'm pregnant.
Look, here's my whole thing. People get very creative when they are caught cheating. Remember the story that we had last year about the guy who had all sorts of pictures of his penis or something on his iPhone, and he said, oh, I didn't put them there. I didn't send those to anybody. It must have been a glitch with Apple. Remember? And
right,
his
sure.
wife went to Apple and said, is there any possibility
yes.
that something like this could have happened, that a photo could have been sent out in somebody's email without that? And the guy was just lying. The guy was just trying to cover his own tracks because he had been cheating. That's how these stories happen, is you got to come up with some creative way that it's not your fault, but that you were caught cheating or that you got pregnant somehow and you weren't having sex with another dude.
When people are just, like, they just don't for a second waver, it really, you start to think,
well,
there's just this little sliver of doubt.
That's the Kevin and Bean rule, is that you have to lie wholeheartedly, total conviction.
Yes.
Yeah.
So she said, listen, I don't understand it either, but it was 3D porn and I ended up pregnant. And then his quote is, the films in 3D are very real. With today's technology, anything is possible. So then she says, she admits that her marriage could be in trouble. Even though my husband believed in me, my marriage could be at risk, but he knows I'm faithful.
Yeah. I think my favorite part of the story, and maybe this is another reason why I suspect it can't even be true, is that the kid allegedly looks just like the black actor in the porn movie. that's a nice touch. But you know what? Look, people, as I said, people will make up stuff to get out of, you know, being caught on cheating. And the whole pregnancy thing, we had a story last year of a real story about a girl who got pregnant through oral sex. Remember that?
Yeah.
A real story.
Yeah, but it turned out to not be true, Bean. Remember? We had Dr. Mo on and he said, not possible.
Yeah.
She made up a story about getting stabbed. And remember that whole thing?
Yep.
That was her.
People do get creative when they come up. And I'm curious if any Kevin and Bean listeners have ever had to figure out a way that they could have gotten pregnant without cheating. I wonder if people have gotten creative like that are listening to us right now.
You have to
Or
imagine.
People have heard those stories.
You have to imagine, once you're pregnant, you go, wow, I got to come up with something.
Yeah.
And so they try to come up with something. 3D porn? I'm not sure anyone's going to buy that because that's dumb. But who knows what people try when they're backed into a corner. I mean, if you're really, really, really in trouble and you have to come up with something, maybe you're not the most creative person or whatever, or you're not very smart realizing that you can't really get pregnant from a 3D porn. But especially if you're one of the people involved, you were told something of your girlfriend or wife and how they got pregnant.
Right.
Or you made something up and you said, this is how I got pregnant. This, you know, I sat down on a toilet seat, that whole thing.
We've all heard that.
Right. Or if you work at a hospital, which I'm sure happens a lot, emergency room or whatever, and people come in, or a doctor's office, and people come in and they say, here's what happened. And then
or the girl who's about to give birth and has no idea she's pregnant, and then comes up with some way that she got pregnant. That
this is how it must have happened.
It's really not at all possible.
Right, right.
Lisa, what about your little friend Quinn, the cheerleader on Glee? What did she tell?
She said
a story. She made up something, right?
That she and Finn were in the hot tub, and he had a moment. And the little spermies just swam right to her.
Right.
Exactly. Perfect example.
They're well known to be able to withstand that kind of heat.
And then they just swim right through the hot tub and find their way. Because they know where to go.
Here's the problem. And I'm guessing a lot of times this is sprung on somebody. Like, for example, they find out you're pregnant and you weren't ready for them to find out.
Right.
So now you're under pressure. Now you've got like 10 seconds to think of something and sell it.
Right.
And it's probably going to come out pretty stupid.
And by the way, again, we're going to take your calls in a minute at 1-800-520-1067. And we're going to be talking to Dr. Drew coming up next year anyway. So we'll ask him what he's heard. I have heard more than one story from somebody, a religious person, who, of course, can never admit to having had sex, who will say, it's just like what happened in the Bible. It's immaculate conception. It's God that got me pregnant. I didn't have sex. I swear to you I didn't have sex. It must be the Holy Spirit.
Let's talk to Mark and find out his experience here. Hi, Mark.
Good morning, Kevin and Bean. Lisa May.
Hi.
What happened?
I've been married for about 7 years.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been out of town for about 6 months. My wife called me in tears. She had got a venereal disease.
Oh, and, good.
Fantastic, right?
Uh-huh.
So she got chlamydia. I went to the doctors. I got tested because I've been out of town. I had nothing. So that was it. Well, we went to counseling. We went to this faith-based counselor, which is awesome because I'm not a man of faith.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And he basically said, well, God is in the room with us, so there's no way that she can lie if I ask her if she cheated on you.
What?
So he asked her, you know, did you cheat on him? And she said no. And he said, there, she didn't cheat on you, so maybe this is just a test from God to test the strength of your relationship before you decide to have children.
God gave her venereal disease?
and so along with the immaculate conception thing, I told him, I said, you know, I'm kind of down with that. I don't really believe it, but I can understand how people do, but I don't think God is handing out immaculate infections.
It's,
I don't think
it certainly doesn't seem like he's in the business of handing out VD.
No. Mark, what ended up happening? You didn't buy the story. Your wife was, of course, relieved to get some backing that it wasn't her cheating, that it was God's interference. But what did you guys end up doing?
Just got divorced. That was it. It was over.
That was it, huh?
And now she's with that pastor.
Look, that has to be it. If she's trying to convince you that God gave her a venereal disease.
Chlamydia.
Come on. At that point.
At least go for the toilet seat.
She did the toilet seat thing. Actually, she said she got it from a toilet seat. She said maybe our cat had licked her.
Yes, that can happen.
That's fantastic. That's a great call, Mark. Thank you very much.
My
That's
God.
Exactly what we're talking about. The most creative excuses. And I guess we could open it up to STDs as well as pregnancy.
Sure.
But somehow you don't want to admit, or you heard of somebody who doesn't want to admit that they were cheating. They've got a fantastic explanation of what happened instead. Give us a call. 1-800-520-1067. And we'll take your calls right after this on the Kevin and Bean. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. We're talking about the story that apparently is not true, but it's a creative effort to explain to your husband serving our country in Iraq how you ended up pregnant with a black dude's baby while he was gone. Well, I was watching a 3D porn, and that's what got me pregnant, honey. That's the story that allegedly she came up with. We're talking about other creative stories that people have come up with. Listen to this one, Kevin. To explain a pregnancy or a venereal disease without having cheated or had sex. A girl I knew was a stripper and she got VD. She explained to her boyfriend by saying the disease was lingering on the stripper pole from the girl that danced prior to her.
Oh my gosh.
That's from Tara. Also, JJ writes in, my wife has these friends whose husband had a vasectomy 5 years ago. His wife got pregnant. He was crazy angry at her. Tried to throw her out, get divorced, the whole work. She consistently denied it. He made her get tested to find out who the baby was. Sure enough, it was his.
Yeah.
His tubes had reattached. He's been living in hell ever since.
Yeah.
So apparently, sometimes when the other person says they're not cheating, the other person's not cheating.
And one more, and this is Michelle, and then we've got Dr. Drew in line. We're going to talk to him. Hi, Michelle.
Hi, hello.
Your girlfriend told you what?
Well, I've been dating her for 2 years. I thought she was a lesbian, just like me.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. And she calls me up and tells me that she, by the way, honey, I'm pregnant.
And surprise.
I'm really not that good. are you sure it's mine? And she told me that she had been on a prescription for Ambien and suspected that she had been having random sex with someone.
Yes.
What?
She was sleep boning. Yes. Yeah. Sleep boning. She would stand up in the middle of the night, fully asleep.
Driving a tractor, having random sex, yes.
Oh, my God. Now, was she sleeping in an area where there were guys around that she could have had sex with?
Not if she's driving a tractor.
She had really friendly neighbors.
Wow.
Oh, my God.
That's the best case scenario. Middle of the night. The girl comes over from next door. She's asleep. She doesn't know it. Hops in bed.
That's right.
Yeah.
Does it? All right,
well,
Michelle.
It unraveled.
It unraveled. So you're saying it wasn't true?
Oh, no, it wasn't true.
Oh.
No.
Nice effort, though. You got to give her some points for effort, right?
I did give her an A for effort.
And then kicked her right the hell out.
I around for a while until some guy shows up at my house and tries to vandalize my home, who later on I find out was a guy who was trying to have a three-way with us, and I was not interested.
Well, you shouldn't make up your mind so quickly on that. I mean, maybe it would have been good. That's all I'm saying.
Kevin believes that that's all lesbians are lacking is a love for penis.
Thank you, Michelle, for the call.
Thank you very much for the call, my dear. All right, let's get a real live expert on. I'm sure Dr. Drew has heard every story under the sun about how people didn't cheat, they didn't have sex, but still miraculously ended up pregnant or with an STD. Hey, Doc, how are you, man?
Gentlemen, Kevin, welcome back.
Thank you, especially doing Loveline as long as you have. Taking calls.
Oh, yeah.
I'll tell you what, though. I've definitely heard the stripper pole thing more than once.
You have, okay.
Is
that possible? It seems like it is.
Nah, I mean, all these things are, like, they're not impossible, but here's the thing that's very common. People lie.
They're long shots.
Very common. But what about the two most common ones that you hear about are, I got it from a toilet seat or I got it from a doorknob. Same thing. It's technically possible under perfect laboratory conditions, but in the real world, it's just almost never likely to happen.
It just doesn't happen. It just does not happen.
Honestly, honey, I fell on a doorknob.
Especially with STDs. Everyone wants to get STDs from toilet seats, and it just doesn't happen. It just does not happen. But the strange thing about Loveline, though, is Mike backed me up on this. We hear so many calls every night. It's hard to even remember. You're overwhelmed with this tidal wave of stuff.
Right.
It's sort of slight. Mike and I were talking the other day. We couldn't even remember who we talked to at the end of the show, right?
What percentage of the calls do you think are people making up stories or somehow embellishing? Because it seems like it would be a lot.
Yeah, it's about 10%. You can tell.
Oh, that's
it.
Okay.
Right away. Yeah.
All right. Did you hear the story that kicked this all off, which is the girl who got pregnant while her husband was in Iraq fighting a war, and she said she got it from 3D porn.
My favorite story. I love it.
3D porn. That's possible, right?
Well, of course.
Okay.
Of course. Technology is amazing. To me, it's never ceased amazing how gullible people are, how little they understand about their bodies and science, and how much they lie.
Yeah.
It's incredible.
Dr. Drew is on the phone with us as he is each Thursday on the Kevin and Bean Show. Sober House, of course, has wrapped for this season, but you can check out video highlights of that great show at VH1.com. You're also on, you're working on this, what's it called, the 16-year-old mom or teenage mom? What's that other show called, Dr. Drew?
Yeah, I mean, it's funny that we're having the pregnancy conversation this morning. I was doing some work with Bristol Palin, in fact.
I wanted to ask you about that.
Yeah, she's a very cool young lady. She's really interesting, and she is certainly not tied to the strings of her mom, the apron. She is her own person, and she's outspoken. I really enjoyed working with her. But then at MTV, yes, we are doing the 16 and pregnant reunions and the teen mom reunions. We've got a reunion airing right now that's very interesting, and we just did another one last week. That's a show I'm actually very, very proud of. It tells the real story about teen pregnancy, and it seems to be having an impact.
Let me ask you this, Doc, because you spent some time with Ms. Palin. What about her mom's view, and a lot of people share this, about abstinence-only education in schools for teenagers? Clearly, it didn't work in Bristol Palin's case because she ended up getting pregnant, but I'm sure you had conversations with her and others about it. What are your thoughts?
Absolutely. She brought it up, and she is not for it. She was very clear that it was a bad idea, that it would not help her. And we had a whole panel. The Candies Foundation, the people that make those shoes, were actually funding this whole thing. It was very, very well done, and the entire panel spontaneously was saying, look, that's just ridiculous. And of course, the science bears that out. I mean, if there was a good evidence that worked, we'd all espouse that.
Yeah.
But there's no evidence that works. It's a bad idea. It's having bad outcomes. It's hurting kids. And here's Bristol Palin saying the same thing. Oh, she's like, her thing was, hey, absinthe, good choice for some people. But to only understand that is ridiculous.
I can tell you that I came from a background where that was mainly what was taught. Yeah. And you want to get married at 12. You know what I mean? Like you go,
and people right. get married really
if
early.
If I can't have sex till I'm married, then I want to get married right now. And that's a bad idea.
If I had to pick somebody who was reared on the breast of abstinence-only education, I would not pick Kevin Ryder.
Yeah, I know. No. I've drifted a bit, Doc.
Let me ask you one more thing about Bristol. So was she sexually ignorant, and that's how she ended up pregnant, or had she learned it from someplace else outside of abstinence-only that she'd been taught in school? How much did she know what was likely to happen when she started fooling around with that kid?
She understood what happened. Most of the girls in the panel felt that the real issue was having a douchebag boyfriend. That was the
right. Well,
problem.
that is a big problem.
It doesn't help.
I mean, let's
and if you look, when I watch the 16 and Pregnant series and I sort of prepare for these reunions, I'm literally embarrassed to have a Y chromosome. I mean, the way these young men treat these women is just reprehensible. It's incredible. And yes, indeed, everyone on the panel, 80% of the guys that get women, young women pregnant do not stick around. And 100% of the women have a fantasy that that's what it's going to cause
sure.
them to do.
Oh, no, that'll work. That'll save our relationship.
Right. And the exact opposite that's is what happens.
Dr. Drew, how's it going with Love Line with Psycho Mike? I mean, are you ready to slit your wrists? Are you ready to get your license taken away? How's it working with him?
Well, I'm heading over to the psych hospital right now where I'm going to admit myself.
Okay, good.
and you know, Rudy has been a little bit cantankerous lately. Sad girl, I guess, put on a couple of pounds.
Oh,
so
no.
Rudy's been very outspoken about that. And,
all right.
And Dean Simmons has been around a little too much, too.
Hey, yeah. Same as on our show. Listen, I know we don't have much time, but Psycho Mike, when is the great the Peter North contest? What is that happening on Love?
We haven't nailed down a date yet, but it's going to be very soon. It'll be by the end of this month, and I'm still very upset that Dr. Drew's so highfalutin that he won't partake in our little competition.
I just the idea of Mike with the scales of justice there weighing out. And I just to me, this is an image I don't want emblazoned
right.
in my head.
And by the way, who you know going in? That's like playing one on one against Kobe. I mean, there's no possible way.
Oh, but he's preparing.
I'm sure he is. He could be out there shooting free throws too. Wouldn't make a difference.
they could say a lot more about this on Love Line than we can in our time slot. But needless to say, Psycho Mike wants to have a volume competition with all of the guys on Love Line versus Peter North. It's just him versus them. And Dr. Drew, you know, being a tight ass, refuses to participate and contribute. How about that?
Imagine that. I'm so uptight.
Dr. Drew, you must honestly...
You can't even talk about it explicitly on your show,
yeah.
And I'm a tight ass.
I was just going to say, you know, you must every single 5 minutes have to go, should I do this because it would be bad for my reputation or whatever. You must think...
Oh, 5 minutes is far too... I have to keep my eye carefully on that ball.
Constantly.
Check your local listings for Love Line across these great United States. Midnight to 2 a.m., lots of places. Here on K-Rock, 10 till midnight. Dr. Drew Pinsky joins us every Thursday on the Kevin and Bean Show. Doc, have a great week, man. Thanks for coming on.
Okay, guys. Thank you.
Dear Kevin and Bean, you guys are studs. This email says, heroes among radio personalities, you managed to sexually harass two women at once, and you did it on the air with many thousands of witnesses listening. Of course, I'm talking about making Lisa Mae Motorboat Miss Cleo.
That was not sexually harassing. They enjoyed it.
They volunteered. They wanted to do it.
I'm not sure that's exactly
how it happened.
I write this with a little tear in my eye. Daniel also writes in, I listened to your podcast and I just heard the motorboat bit with Lisa and Cleo. I just wanted to know that now you guys have made it. The Kevin and Bean Show has officially peaked. I'm scared you may never be able to top that moment. Thank you, and I still have a boner, says Daniel.
Wow.
You can see the video of Miss Cleo being motorboated by Lisa Mae. It is up at kevinandbean.com. Not only can you see it, you must see it.
You also had a hell of a day to miss yesterday, didn't
you? You did.
Yeah. You also go to kevinandbean.com and you can see the Kung Fu Bear. Which we're very excited to add to the wheel of Bad Animal Voices.
Look, I love this bear.
Hurricane
I think it's a
Jim.
Great video, but I'm saying we don't need to do this particular segment.
Kevin, don't bother reading what else is on the wheel when you've already told people we're going to be calling the Kung Fu Bear.
Was that supposed to when I said that last?
Usually you say
you're supposed to save that to the end.
And then you talk about where you saw the animal.
Just play the damn intro so Ralph can go in the other room, wouldn't
you? It's time for the Wheel of Bad Animal Voices. Where do you think it's gonna land?
No,
it's gonna be pretty bad. But Kevin and me don't care, so we'll do it anyway. It's time for the Wheel of Bad Animal Voices.
Oh, look, look, it landed on the Kung Fu Bear. What a surprise that is.
What a surprise. And what a surprise. The video is up on our website.
You've got to start coming to the planning meetings, Kevin.
Listen
That's all
to me.
Doing.
This bear does kung fu moves that will scare the hell out of you.
Here's what happened. A tourist, is visiting a zoo in Japan, right?
Hey!
Yes.
And he sees this bear that's playing with a stick. And he puts this video up on YouTube of this bear doing unbelievable, the kind of kung fu moves that you see the experts do where they throw the staff up in the air and catch it and twirl it around and put it
like
behind their back.
Nunchucks and stuff. I mean, this bear is trained.
It is amazing.
Must be, yeah.
Well, they asked an animal behavior expert from the University of Colorado. He says it does look genuine. He says this is an amazing example of animal object control. This goes beyond normal animal usage of complex tools. But then again, you can train seals to balance balls on their noses, train elephants to point with the trunk, so why not this? Somebody is theorizing that maybe – you don't have to spin the wheel. We've already done that. Somebody is theorizing that maybe he was just bored, didn't have much to do, so he learned these tricks. So we thought, hey, let's find out more about this. And I believe we have a representative on the phone with us from the zoo in Japan right now, the Asa Zoo in Hiroshima, Japan. Hello, can you hear us?
Hey, round eye, how you go?
We go well.
Wait, hold on. Is this the bear?
You got that right, round eye.
Well, Quad.
How's your economy doing?
That's a good accent right now, Quad. So, Claude, are you aware that you are an international internet sensation now since your video has been uploaded to YouTube?
Yes, I know I am, because I am popular. The world's most dangerous bear. Bears just attack you with claw and tooth.
Right, and they can rip people apart. I don't know why you need to teach yourself kung fu moves.
Because I like to play with my food before I eat it.
Oh, okay.
I take my deadly kung fu skill, and I beat you up first, and then I kill you.
Well, it is it's a very impressive skill to add to your arsenal as a bear. I mean, usually you don't see a bear learn kung fu. I will say that's true.
That's true, but you have to keep in mind where I'm from.
You're from Asia?
Yes.
Uh-huh.
But also, more so, Hiroshima.
Oh, I
right?
see. Okay.
Yeah. Sure. Radiation has turned me into super bear.
Oh, oh no.
I
got to tell you, when we first started watching this video, it looked like you were just, you know, toying with it because you're going to eat it. But then when you went into the moves, a half a minute in, you started throwing it in the air and catching it.
Hold on. Time out. You thought I was going to eat the stick?
I was wondering about that too, Claude.
What kind of bears you hanging out with?
Hang on. Okay. Let's see
bears
what lands
don't
on.
Eat sticks, okay? That's the first rule of bears you need to know.
It looks like you were just playing with it, but then as the video goes on, you do have kung fu skills, which is very scary.
I do. I have crazy kung fu skills.
Have you used your kung fu skills on any other animals or humans?
Yes.
Okay.
I recently beat the crap out of a sloth.
A sloth.
Yes.
Oh, that's just mean, because they can't defend themselves.
I know. That's why it's so funny.
But you don't need kung fu moves to do that.
I know I don't, but see, it helps because they stay in one place. That's how I get so good with practice.
I see.
Okay.
Next, I'm going to take on a llama.
A llama?
Yes.
Oh, that's weird.
They
I don't know why you would do that.
Spiritual.
They spit.
He is the Dalai Lama.
No, don't do that. Come on. Good idea.
Put it in the...
Welcome back, Miss Courtney Love, on 106.7 KROQ KROQ. It is 8:06. If you've never been able to see Hole in concert, you got your chance coming up on Saturday, June 5th at the Verizon Wireless Amphitheater, one of the great bands on the bill for this year's Weenie Roast, along with Sublime, with Rome, STP, Silver Sun Pickups, Devo, Paramore, Deftones, and so much more. Get all the details at krock.com or kevinbean.com to buy your tickets later this week. Hey, Ralph, you're the movie guy. What ever happened to that? Remember that kid, Jon Favreau? He played Rocky Marshall.
I remember him from Rudy.
I saw him in the Rocky Showtime movie, and then I saw him in Rudy, and never heard anything. He seemed like a talented young man. He just kind of fell off the face of the earth. What happened to that dude?
He had a horrible badminton accident where a shuttlecock was lodged, I believe, in his throat, and he could not cough it up.
Oh, you know what? Hold on. Producer Alex is giving me new information. Apparently, Jon Favreau is on the phone with us right now on the Kevin Beach. I guess we were wrong.
What?
Hello.
Hey, John. How are you, man?
Hi, guys.
Congratulations, Mr. Favreau.
A shuttlecock in the throat.
Yeah.
Well, it's a little early. I'm not sure. I came in halfway on that conversation. What's going on?
If someone hits a badminton racket, you know, really hard, that can happen. Sometimes your mouth's open while you're playing.
Obviously. Oh, is that it?
Yeah.
It's that highfalutin comedy. It went over my head.
You forgot how highbrow this program was, John. That's the problem
I did. How are you guys doing?
Well, not as good as you.
Yeah. Yeah. You are the happiest little girl in the whole USA today, aren't you, John?
You know what I'm happiest about? That I don't get to think about it. I have to go right into work today and get back to work. That's the true blessing.
What? Are you, on what?
What are you working on?
I'm working on Cowboys and Aliens. I'm doing with Daniel Craig and Harrison Ford. We're shooting this summer. So if you sit around and read everything and think about everything, it'll drive you nuts. So I'm very grateful that the fans showed up. I was happy to go out with Downey over the weekend and check out the theaters, and it was really fun to see the audience's response. But the biggest blessing is always just being able to keep doing what you're doing, and that's what this weekend afforded me. I'm very, very grateful.
I understand that's the mature attitude, and I don't know why you would say that, but I would think as hard as you worked on Iron Man 2 for the last 2 years of your life, to finally have it out there and be received so well, it seems like somebody ought to give you a vacation. Like, there ought to be some time off to enjoy it.
One would think, but that's when I tend to be the most miserable. I really like my job. I really do.
You always had a vision of a franchise when you started with Iron Man, I think.
Yeah,
but after
yeah,
the first
sure.
movie was so great, I mean, even you, did you have any doubts that you're going to be able to make another one that would satisfy the fans because the first one just hit it out of the park so far?
Well, first we had to get the band back together. That was the whole thing that took a lot of months, you know, to work all that out. And that was an uncomfortable period because we were, you know, chomping at the bit to get started. But once we pulled it together, we were just having so much fun coming up with all the different ideas of what we could do that, you know, we had hoped that the fans would like it and that the audiences would receive it. But, you know, we didn't know, but we definitely were pleasing ourselves every step of the way.
With the huge box office, this is Jon Favreau on the phone on the Kevin and Bean Show talking about the $130 million-plus that it made over the weekend just domestically. A lot of people are pointing out, hey, imagine how much more it would have made if it had been in 3D. Was there ever any talk along the Iron Man 2 timeline that it might be a 3D movie?
Yeah, I mean, that was hitting, if you recall, you know, 3D takes a while to do. To do it right, you really have to shoot in 3D. That was never an option because 3D... Nobody even talked about 3D until Avatar, and then Alice in Wonderland and even Clash of the Titans started changing the business model. It would have meant turning the movie over early and post-converting, which doesn't look great, and would have probably led to an inferior film, though we would have collected more money per ticket at the box office. So it wasn't something I was comfortable with. It wasn't very realistic, but I do like 3D a lot. But if I were to do 3D, I would shoot in 3D.
Yeah,
that makes a lot of sense. But as a filmmaker, though, you're intrigued by it, interested enough to think about doing a movie that way one day?
Oh, yeah. I've been testing the gear out because we're discussing whether or not we want to do it on the next film. I know Marvel's looking into it for their movies, but for me personally on Cowboys and Aliens, we're looking into what the gear could hold up to because we're shooting out in the desert, which has never been done before with this type of gear. But I love watching movies in 3D that are well done in 3D. I think it's very... It's very captivating.
For those who don't know, Cowboys and Aliens is also another great comic book property that John will be directing. Are you kind of the go-to guy now for comic book movies for these big adventure films, John?
I think there's definitely an appetite for comics, although I wouldn't put it in the same category as Iron Man.
No,
because Iron Man is something where the comic book is where people know it from. Cowboys and Aliens was something that the comic book was written after the script was written, I believe.
Right.
So. It's not the same type of property, but I think graphic novels are really a cool way to find new properties because they're so visual, and it doesn't take a lot of imagination to see the potential in those stories.
I can't imagine Iron Man without Robert Downey Jr. As great as all the other elements are, including your participation, John, it seems like there's almost never been a character who's been better suited for an actor as this one is for him.
Yeah, I really think that you know, my biggest contribution was putting him in the role. I think that that was a moment of profound vision that I've been really enjoying the benefits and the fruits of for the last 4 years. And not just because of his talent, but he's just a tremendously gracious guy and a great friend. And
super.
We were through a big journey together because we both earned our stripes on this. And he got my back a lot. I got his back a lot. And we're both very proud of what we've been able to do.
Is the character on hold now, John, until the Avengers movie? Is that the plan, as far as you know?
No, he's not in Thor. He's not in Cap, which are the two movies for next summer. It'll be very interesting to see how the Marvel Universe branches off. And you know, all of those movies are going to be taken into account for the Avengers in 2 years.
Right.
I'm not sure where the Avengers goes. It's not. You know, there's no shooting draft written yet. It's going to be a big undertaking for Marvel to actually incorporate what happened in Iron Man, Iron Man 2, Thor, Captain America, the Hulk.
Right.
All of that has to inform one unified vision in the Avengers, and it's a very exciting prospect, and certainly Tony Stark is not going to be involved in any of the movies until that one. So, so I would say, yes, you're right.
So, $133 million box office over the weekend. And I know, I think, in my opinion, people are way too focused on opening weekends. I know that it makes headlines and stuff, but a movie like yours is going to be in theaters all summer long and is going to continue to make money. But how does it work with something like that? I mean, do you have an expectation, a number at which you're disappointed if it only makes, or do they put a lot of pressure on you to promote it to the point where they can guarantee a certain number? Or what's the deal with that, John?
It's, you know, a lot of it is voodoo, really. There's no real math to bear out that. There's a million things that enter into that equation. You know, part of it's promotion. Part of it is whether it's 3D or IMAX. A big part of it, too, we opened up a week early overseas, and piracy is rampant. And so who knows how much that takes away, or the value of the dollar overseas, the value of foreign currencies. I don't really get caught up in all of that. It's like, is it really that different if you make, you know, literally $5 million more? Does that make you disappointed or not disappointed because you didn't cross another film? That's another thing. There's always the basis of comparison of other of other movies. And there's a lot of talk about, oh, are they going to beat Dark Knight? Dark Knight made like 158, which is astounding when you think about it.
Yeah.
And so, you know, there are people who do this for a living that get very hung up on who's number one. For me, my big thing is I don't want to bomb. I don't want to lose money. I don't want to disappoint people. I'm happy we did better than the last film.
Yeah.
And to me, that was my own private little, you know, high watermark. But I don't get caught up in that stuff, fortunately. I get more caught up in the creative side of things. I was very happy that we had a cinema score, which is when they poll people that come out of an A, and for people under 18, it was A+, which meant that the people who saw the movie liked it, and it had legs over the weekend. And you don't want to just open big and then disappoint people. The real satisfaction comes from having a lot of people see it multiple times. They enjoy it. They tell their friends. That means we did a good job.
And you get to work again. That's good news, too.
Sorry?
And you get to work again.
And I get to work again, which is still this looming, you know, fear that comes from coming up as an actor when
exactly.
You don't know where your next gig is coming from.
Yeah. Well, you nailed it. The bottom line is make a good movie, and then the rest takes care of itself. Thanks. John Favreau, congratulations on Iron Man 2, and a special thanks to you. I know how incredibly busy you are these days, but you always make time for a few minutes on The Kevin Bean Show. We go back, you know, 15 years or
many years
at this point. So.
Many years. Yeah, yeah. Thanks for being in my corner. It means a lot to me.
You bet, man. Have a great day. Congratulations, John.
Cheers.
Thank you.
Cheers, guys.
All right. Now, this is legitimately exciting here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Who is ready for a little wreck and roll, ladies and gentlemen? Who is ready to welcome the five-headed hydra of pleasure that is Trainwreck to the Kevin and Bean Show? Hey, you guys.
How's it going?
Good morning.
Hey. It's going well. How are you guys?
God, it's going well. This is such an honor for us. We can't even put it into words how exciting this is.
We're just going to grunt and moan and...
We kind of see it as our big break, really.
You do.
It is.
Yeah.
Now, we got to give people some backstory on The Wreck, because this band, for you, Kyle, is not as well known, perhaps, as Tenacious D has been over the past few years, but you guys have played together for a long time. Tell us the history, the story of Trainwreck.
Well, it started 8 years ago with my buddy here, JR.
Mm-hmm.
And
hey, JR.
Jack was getting too big and wasn't playing enough gigs.
Jack Black started going off being a movie star.
Yeah, movie diva,
right?
If you will, and got too big for his britches.
Sure.
So I thought, if I start another band, I can make him jealous.
So these guys are an attempt to make Jack Black jealous?
Yes.
How's that working out?
It's not working.
Not
out
really
at
working.
All.
Not a bit.
He
doesn't care?
He barely knows we exist.
No, that hurts.
And
how long are you going to keep up the farce then?
Another 10 years or so.
Yeah, I think another 10
seven
years.
Or so.
Now, but you guys, you said you've been together 8 years. You play quite a bit, though, right? I mean, you're kind of a working... I know everybody has other jobs, but you guys are kind of a working band, right?
Yes, we're on the road probably, I'd say, over 30, 40 dates a year, I think.
That's a lot.
Which is pretty, you know, that's almost one a week on the average.
That's not almost one a week.
How many weeks are there?
It's about half and half. I don't know about your math, but 30 dates, not
like
one a week.
A month.
But it's like five,
we hit it,
10
we hit
a month.
It hard. We hit it
all
hard.
Right, what's the mission statement of Trainwreck? What is your goal? Are you? Is this another attempt to melt our face off? Are you making us think while we rock, or what are you doing?
JR, what is it?
All of the above.
All of the above.
I think we and Trainwreck. We aren't associated with that green stuff that grows up in Humboldt. By the way, disclaimer: we are a Trainwreck of rock genres.
We're trying to bring the love back.
Okay, mm-hmm.
From whence it came.
Is the love gone?
The love left.
Okay, when did the love leave?
Love left the station.
I think when TikTok wrote up the charts.
Good. I'm glad.
And we're fighting it.
I'm
we're fighting it
that.
Bad.
I'm good with that.
Although I secretly like that song, and the band gives me a lot of
F you.
Yeah, you can't come on this show and defend Kesha. I'm sorry. You just can't. But like, you guys are into what I call, back when rock was good, you're into the boogie, the prog rock, the southern rock, all that kind of stuff that just, that frankly, doesn't get much play anymore, right?
Exactly.
Right.
But, you know, we have a solution to that.
What is that?
In fact, we were so honored and inspired that we wrote an epic jam for you guys.
You wrote a song.
We wrote a song dedicated. We're just such big fans.
Wow.
Yeah, we went into the laboratory and kicked out an epic jam.
Wow. Mm-hmm. So we have a song to play from Trainwreck about us?
Yes.
Yep.
This is exciting.
Yeah.
All right. Do you know how few people write songs about us?
I don't know.
Maybe zero.
Zero really? Is the answer.
What?
Yeah. Zero.
Oh, well, they're not true fans.
Oh, the crazy guy in Chicago did, Bean, right? What was that guy's name? This crazy homeless
Wesley
guy.
Willis. Wesley Willis did include it in one of his songs. Yeah,
that's pretty cool.
His songs have a similar quality.
So it's him and then it's you guys.
This hopefully is more original.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, Trainwreck. Is this a world premiere, would you guess?
This is it. This is it. I think it was just finished this morning.
All right.
Honored. That was awesome.
Cool.
Trainwreck is here on the Kevin and Bean Show. You can see them live tomorrow night, unless you guys are going to tell me you're sold out at DiPiazzi's. Is that gone, or can people still get tickets for that?
I'm not sure we've ever sold out.
Okay, DiPiazzi's on the East PCH in Long Beach, California, tomorrow night at 8 if you want to see Trainwreck. And their album, The Reckoning, is available for download now on Amazon and iTunes.
Wouldn't you say that writing that song would be selling out?
I think it's just called pandering.
Okay, pandering, okay.
But pandering. More from Trainwreck when we return right after this in the Kevin and Bean.
We have Trainwreck in the studio.
Yeah, Trainwreck.
I'm going to play a little music. Psycho Mike in the other room has threatened you with death if you don't play Brodeo. He is going to blow the place if you don't play Brodeo.
Whoa, so. Whoa.
That's not your wording there.
Well, I didn't mean it that way.
Oh, okay.
In an explosive sense, Psycho Mike, I think is what Kevin was talking about.
In the Armenian comedian kind of way.
Gotcha.
Yeah, okay. All right. So some live music?
We can do that.
Ladies and gentlemen, the CD is called The Reckoning. It's Trainwreck.
How you guys doing out there? This one goes out to the bros. You know who you are.
It's time to party.
We got chips. We got dip. We shoot and we pound the bomb, but never sip. We got ice, frosty beers, and if you're looking for girls, you're likely not to find them here. And when the Brodeo begins, we'll be hanging with our friends, all of whom are men. And when the Broverload occurs, we can all take off our shirts. Wrestle in the dirt, spirits soar. We really scored. We got Jean-Claude Van Damme is our elected Broverlord. Holding mans, taking stands. We'll sing our anthem all across the land. And when the Brodeo begins, we'll be hanging with our friends,
all of whom are men.
And our Broverload will sustain with beer pong and table games, unless you're lame.
Hey everybody, who wants to jump in the pool?
I do.
I'll be the first. Come on, bros, let's take off our shirts.
Hey man, I love you.
I love you, bro.
We will always be bros, and someday we'll have some hoes.
And God only knows, no matter where he goes, the cold wind blows.
Come on, beautiful sentiment right there. The band is called Trainwreck on the Kevin and Bean Show. You can see them if you're in Southern California down in Long Beach at DiPiazzi's on the PCH tomorrow night at 8 o'clock. The Reckoning, available for download everywhere. Hey, I want to ask about the Face Melter hot sauce. I know Mike's a big fan of it. Is your hot sauce hotter than Dexter Holland's from the Offsprings hot sauce? Because that stuff's pretty pretty tough.
This isn't face melting, I know that.
It's really not the hottest of hot sauces.
It's a 4 out of 10 on the heat
scale. It's very flavorful, though. Very flavorful. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
So it's poorly named.
That's face melting.
It is.
Exactly.
Yeah. Misnomer.
You're lying to your fans all over again is what's going on here. Okay.
It's a little twinge of spice. That's it.
Sublime. How about one more from the wreck since you guys are all set up? What
you
the hell?
You got it. Thank you.
Let's do it.
Absolutely.
A train wreck, oh yeah, wrong way down the one way
they track to the train wreck. Oh yeah, I wanna get with you, girl. I wanna get with you. You know it's hard just to be a man with no direction and no known side. And careful, Jim, like it comes quicksand. And when your secrets cannot withstand finding a train wreck, oh yeah. Wrong way down a one-way track to the train wreck, oh yeah. I wanna get with you, girl, I wanna get with you. Five guys are with hearts of gold. Some are young and a few are old. Adventure stops when you hit the road. Without the answers, you've got to fall. Oh. Wow! We're talking train wreck, oh yeah. Wrong way down a one-way track to the train wreck, oh yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
I wanna get with you, girl, I wanna get with you.
Uh-oh. Get a little sticky at this point. Shreddy, get to the toolbox. BJ, I need some electrical tape. Dallas, you got a screwdriver? Clip!
What?
Just start running.
Where?
I've detonated bombs before. I can do this. Red wire, blue wire, white wire. 5, 4, 3. No!
Cause it's a train wreck. Oh yeah. Wrong way down a one-way track to the train wreck. Oh yeah. I wanna get with you, girl. I wanna get with you. I wanna get with you, girl. I wanna get with you. Wanna rock with you, girl. I wanna rock with you. I wanna roll, girl, I wanna roll with you. I wanna ride on you, girl, I wanna ride on you. I wanna tumble down low, I wanna get on you. I wanna rock in your world, I wanna rock in you. Life fade out is true.
Come on.
Oh,
I gotta
be
fade himself out very often.
I gotta be honest, you don't see live bands fade themselves out ever. Ever.
Nope.
Oh my goodness. Nice Kevin, what done. Are you gonna do? Your face is all melting. How are you gonna broadcast?
It's a 4 out of 10 on this on the heat scale.
Yep. The band is called Trainwreck. Of course they're awesome. If they've been around for 8 years and you haven't heard of them until today, then you just suck because they're great. Buy The Reckoning, available for download everywhere. Go see them this weekend at the PCH in Long Beach at De Piazzas. Guys, thank you so much for coming in. Always great to catch up with you, Kyle.
Thank you.
Nice to meet
you
guys, too.
Thank you, guys.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to introduce a very funny comedian, Mr. Jay Moore, everyone. What the heck is algebra? You never need that. They say you're going to need this for the rest of your life. The lion. Algebra. That sounds like the name of some white trash kid in Fontana lives in a trailer park. Algebra. Mother comes out with rollers in her hair. Algebra!
I'll do Christopher Walken later. But first, I want to talk about Tracy Morgan.
I am so sick of people making fun of Sarah Jessica Parker. If your friend was married to Sarah Jessica Parker and he was coming to your house for your fantasy football draft, the first words out of your mouth would be, is Sarah coming?
Jay Moore's gay.
I kissed everyone because that's a big thing when you come on The View.
Jay Moore's gay.
Look, it was a thrill to have all of the great comedians on stage with us Saturday night for the April Foolishness Concert, and I certainly don't want to declare a winner and take anything away from anybody else, but Jay Moore pretty much killed it. Listen, Jay Moore pretty much runs this town.
I had never seen you on stage before.
You never saw my stand-up, Lacey
and
Cold Jam?
So funny. It was awesome.
Bean, are you saying I was the best comic at April Foolishness?
I don't want to say
why
that.
Why not? Why don't you want to say
well,
it?
Well, because Rogan was great, too.
They're all your friends.
Rogan was great, too.
It's a matter of opinion. It's right. Apples and oranges. Look, I think Bad Brains' Eye Against Eye is a top 10 album of all time. There's other people that listen to it, and they can't differentiate it from Cinderella and Poison.
Well, those people are bad.
Right. I'm going to also tell you that Bill Burr blew the room away because I think a lot of people didn't really know Mr. Burr very well, and he was phenomenal. What a great set that was! I mean, everybody.
Did you say Bill Burr was better than Jay?
Oh dear.
I don't want to. I don't want to rank. I really just. I'm grateful to everybody that appeared.
Just say the words. Say the damn words. Jay was going to be okay. I thought I tell early right there.
Jay was the best.
I thought you were amazing, Jay, and you. You
why does Kevin have? Why is Kevin okay to go? In my opinion, Jay
I'm
was
sitting
the best.
Here with you.
And then, but he, Bean. You know, Bean should have more stones because he's far away.
That's right, Bean.
And I'll tell
By
you
the
something
way,
else.
Bean, what the yes, viewers sir. Have no idea about you, Bean is 5'2".
Yeah, a lot of people don't realize
I was
that.
Stunned. We took pictures of me and his hand around my ass. He was so tiny.
He was a midget.
It was weird to see you in person. It's always weird whenever I see anybody in person, to tell you the truth.
Well, yeah, because you. On the island issues, and you're a you have a problem.
Yeah, he has a big problem.
Many
you
problems.
Live on an island with a moat and like a dragon around your house.
Mm-hmm.
That is accurate. And let me tell you something else about Jay. And perhaps I shouldn't spill the beans on this, but we were getting a little bit worried about you, Jay, because you're such a homebody now. We were worried that you were losing that edge, but you haven't.
No, you haven't. I've never been better. Stand up wise and compassion wise.
I told you when I saw you on that Saturday night. I told you, oh dude, what's going on? Because we had you as the closer.
Yeah, I'm not
and you said so, I want to go first.
No,
like,
I
what?
Go, I wanted to go early. I don't want to. I don't want to close.
Why?
Because I want to go home and go to bed.
And that's why we were.
Made us nervous.
But we thought putting you as the closer. That is to us. That's a compliment, meaning you're going to be the best of the night.
Yeah, but I didn't want. It's not that kind of act. Like Rogan's the perfect closer because he's super, super energy. He's very aggressive.
He broke his hand, by the way.
Really?
Yeah, he broke his hand. He hit the stool.
He was like bleeding through the second half of his.
Now he's on a plane to Dubai or something.
Yes, he is actually. Yes, he is.
Him and Eddie Bravo. That's the interesting first class. How'd you like to be the terrorist that tries to take freaking Rogan's plane?
Oh, great point.
There's two guys in my life that I've met. One's name is Kevin Chapman, who's on the Brotherhood, old buddy of mine, Chappie. The other guy is Joe Rogan. Those are the only two human beings in my life where if I had a baseball bat and I had the first shot, I would lay the bat down and walk in the other direction.
Yeah, me too.
You cannot teach rage.
No.
You cannot teach what happened to you as a child. Blink off a Louisville slugger and go, "That all you got?"
You're right about that.
And they're both Southie Boston boys.
In 2010, by the way, what about this asshat yesterday, this diplomat yesterday, who decided to A, try to smoke in a laboratory restroom on a plane, okay, and then B, make a joke about a bomb when he's coming out of the restroom, sending the entire country into a panic. What about that guy?
Well, since it never reached my news desk, so I have no idea what you're talking about, so it wasn't that big of a deal, apparently. But what ambassador was he? From where?
He was from Qatar. He was a diplomat in Washington in Qatar. So
and
he has diplomatic
diplomat.
Immunities.
Right.
So nothing will happen to him.
So he's an Arab guy.
He was. He's got a
waka waka.
And he tried
thought
to
he was Fozzie the Bear all of a sudden. He came out of the bathroom with his like robe and that big polka dot bow tie like Fozzie Bear. Hey, I got a bomb. Waka waka.
Well, I don't know that's how it happened, but you're lucky you didn't hear about
that's
it.
That's how it would happen.
Yeah.
Because originally the reports all came out that it was another shoe bomber. That's what everybody was afraid of. It turned out it was just a dude trying to get a smoke is all he was trying
to do. I like the guy from the Cleveland Browns, Sean Rogers, who got arrested at the airport with a loaded 45 Magnum,
that
with one in the chamber, and he pled not guilty. That's like the whitest move I've ever heard in my life. That is a straight, like, Bernie Madoff, white-collar, balls-out move. Like, no, I did not. No, we found a gun in your luggage.
Right.
It was loaded. That's why you arrested.
Don't they have all the proof, though?
Like Richard Pryor. Wasn't me?
Nope.
Wasn't me?
That is the voice of the great Jay Moore. He is not pimping out stand-up comedy today. Jay is here because he has another book in stores soon. It's available for pre-order right now at Amazon.com, and it's called Jay Moore, No Wonder My Parents Drank.
Yeah, it's very funny.
I'll bet it is.
If you do say so yourself.
No, I it's very funny and it's kind of tender and sensitive too. It's you know that guy. You know what? It's the guy that rocked out April Foolishness combined with the guy that needs to go home and be under the blankets at 9:30.
All right.
I was gonna write a parenthood book about being a father, like the Paul Reiser, Bill Cosby, like you know, this is easy money. Let's just go and make jokes.
Right.
And then I realized my act was about. A lot of my act in the clubs is about how kids are They're like mental patients. It's like having homeless people in your house, except you give them all your money and you let them climb on you. And they're horrible. They're horrible people that run your life and they live in your house. And it's the same as homeless people. And by the way, I want you to go to Amazon and pre-order the book. And I know it's at 45,000 right now. I didn't know there was that many
pre-orders?
No, that's what rank it is.
Oh.
So I'd like to get in the top 1,000. I'd like to see how the power. You know, I didn't get paid for April Foolishness.
Right,
we
you
do
did,
it
you
out of the love of it.
That's right. You donated.
So
all
what
the
I
money
would like to do is for the people that enjoyed it. There's 6,000 people there.
Uh huh.
So if 10% of the people, if 600 people pre-order this book, that will propel me into 1,000. Amazon.com. Okay. No wonder my parents drank. I was at the promenade with my son, and there was like a guy dressed as a clown doing balloon animals.
Right.
This one, he was like 4, and I go, Jackie, look. Look at that guy over there. There's a clown. You know, it's a kid. Like, there's a clown.
Right.
You want
and my
excited?
Son looks at the guy, and he looks back at me and goes, that's just the guy dressed as a clown. And I was like, as opposed to what? Like a vaginal clown birth in a clown hospital, and the placenta's like a pie. It hits the clown doctor in the face. The nurses spray the mom with salt. Then 40 more clowns pop out of the clown vagina. You've never heard clown vagina in the sentence.
No, that's true. That, you know, but I like it.
You're welcome.
I like it.
Do you get the idea that your son is already smarter than you? Because I get
no,
that.
No, he's not at all. He's okay. No, he's a sensitive
he
guy.
Will be soon.
I'm coaching his Little League team, and they're all gay.
How do you do that? I was just going to say, how do
they're
you do
all,
that?
It's like a field all of right. fruits. I've never seen anything like it.
We need to take a break.
Pre-order the Jay, book. Amazon.com. No wonder my parents drank. Let's see the Kevin and Bean
all
audience
right.
rally.
Okay. And by the way, it's $25 when it comes out. Pre-order on Amazon, 16, only $16.50.
Oh. Come you on now. $10 so, pre-ordering this book on Amazon.com. So
that's a good
you're
deal.
You're saving money. All right. You're not allowed to listen to the next segment with Jay Moore unless you go to Amazon.com and pre-order it right now.
Ooh,
we'll talk to him
Peter.
When we return right after this on the Kevin and Bean Show.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and it's 8:39.
Hey now. All right, we're going to have to break you kids up because Mike and Jay Moore are falling very, very deeply in love here today.
Oh, they've been in love for a long
We've
time.
We've always been in love. That's my girl. That's my boo forever. That's my boo forever, Mike. They call him Psycho Mike. You get Mike between the seats, you can get his abs pregnant. That's the real situation.
By the way, I saw too much of Jay Moore's belly on Saturday night at April Fool's
yeah.
when he was doing the Tracy Morgan
Psycho
impression.
Psycho Mike is the real situation. The situation stole Psycho Mike.
Somebody
That's
yelled,
right.
Somebody yelled in the crowd on Saturday night.
Yeah.
They yelled, I think it was walking, and you said, I'm going to do it. I'll get to it. I know where I am or something.
Yeah, you
like.
Got to do walking.
Yeah, is that the biggest request that you get?
It's being replaced by Tracy now. But I'm getting a lot of ire from the Food Network requests.
Really?
I'm sorry?
Ina Gardner?
I don't know who that is.
Just don't tell Jeffrey.
That's totally...
Look at this. You make a chicken and a man shows up. How bad could that be?
Wow.
Totally
I need to not see that show.
She's a barefoot contestant.
I know most people don't find it as much in demand, but I think your Forrest Whitaker is one of your best impersonators.
I appreciate your compliment.
That's pretty good. Pretty darn good.
Here's Chris Tucker.
Beep, beep. Clang, clang. Beep, beep, man. The Touch of Black Man's video.
Amazon.com. No wonder my parents drank.
Yeah.
Jay, you got to order the book. My favorite book is Scruples.
Where were you in pre-orders when you sat down minutes
44,000.
Okay, I got great news for you.
41,000.
You're at 48,000 right now. 48,596 right now.
Yeah, we're going to order the book. Amazon.com.
Wait, he lost?
Wow.
Yeah, he went down? Got,
or other books
other
went
books
up.
Went up.
He may have increased, but there could have been a bunch of books ahead of him.
It's that damn Chelsea Handler.
I don't know what's going on here. So when did you know early on you were going to write a book about a kid and kind of have just been paying attention since the kid was born? Or is it something that just came to you recently? Hey, there's a lot of material here.
I converted to Catholicism about 3 years ago, and my priest is 30, Father Tim. Excuse me. And he surfs, and he's like Spicoli.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
And he had a girlfriend. He went to college. Like, he did his things, you know, so he's not like a guy that was chaste his whole life. He went out and partied and came out the other end.
Right.
And you're reserving judgment. I appreciate that.
Yeah.
I visibly see you reserving judgment, and it's appreciated.
Go ahead.
But it wouldn't bother me.
It was
I
the
don't
other
care.
End. I think his mind.
Of course.
And so I was going to write a book about chronicling my conversion to Catholicism and the classes you got to take and how this is crazy.
Now, like, what were you before? You were nothing or you were
I was raised Baptized Presbyterian.
Okay,
same.
Okay.
So, and I was going to call it a priest and a comic walk into a bar. Because okay. we will go out, like, me and him will go out to lunch and stuff, and it's like walking down the street with a rock star. Like, I'm no longer famous when I'm with Father Tim. People really? Honk their horns on, like, Wilshire and go,
Father Tim!
And then we're in, like, you know, Wahoo's Fish Tacos, and, like, these gorgeous girls are coming out of spin classes, and they're like, hi, Father Tim! And they're like, they're like drunk at noon holding Coronas, like, Father Tim! And in the parish, all the girls call him Father What a Waste. Because he's a real handsome blonde surfer guy. And
but are there also teenage boys who are weeping when he walks by?
I'm not answering that question.
No, I'm just, I didn't.
It had to be asked.
Because Presbyterians never punch their kids in the face, ever. Every other religion has no problems. You know, if you're Jewish, you're not allowed to speak in temple unless your father or your husband give you permission. If you're a woman,
awesome.
Is that true?
That's good policy.
Yeah, so let's break out. Let's go. Let's do all religions.
Don't get so defensive.
If you
dude.
Touch a woman on her period, according to the Talmud, you have to have your testicles crushed in public.
And that seems fair as well. Hey, listen. So the book was
so
gonna
I'm going
be...
to write a book about my that, and right. then when I sent samples to my book agent, there was a part about my son and I going, like me introducing my son into the church, mm-hmm. and it was a funny story about like if you want to impress a 5-year-old, tell him it's actual holy water,
right?
And like him like crossing himself maniacally, the lighting of the candles, the praying, and he got like totally into it. And then I had to explain to him after Mass. Because he didn't know what rebuke meant and what, like, Jesus touched an evil spirit. I go, okay, Jesus it has the force. And the other guy Ooh, was on the dark side. Good. Jesus flipped him back into the Federation using the force. And my son was like, why didn't you say so? Because during Mass, he's like, what's rebuke mean? I'm like, sure, we're new. So that sample chapter, my literary agent said, this I can sell today. So you need to write this, you and that? Your little partner in crime. Like, that's a guy dressed as a clown. My son asking me, like, Daddy, what are my balls for? Like, and naked, getting into the tub, so it's super uncomfortable. And I go, you know, they're actually called, I'm stalling. I go, you know, they're actually called testicles. So he goes, okay, what are my testicle balls used for? Why do I have testicle balls? And I go, they help make babies. And he goes, but how? Like, I know my lungs help me breathe, and my heart pumps blood. But what are testicle balls? And I go, well, you know, like, you know, Daddy grows a beard and his hair on his chest, like testicle ball. And now I'm saying testicle balls, too. But I'm just trying to stall him until, like, he gets out of it.
Right. And you want to distract him away from the
and
question.
And then finally he goes, oh, okay. And he gets in the tub and, like, starts playing with his, like, you know, SpongeBob raft. But when I was a kid, there's a whole thing about the birds and the bees in the book. Amazon, come on, Amazon.com, pre-order it. Let's see this. Let's be a community here and get
no
this together.
No wonder my parents drank. Jay did the show last Saturday night for free.
My right. mother told me all about the birds and the bees when I was 8, and I know because we were on the cover on the corner of Pompton Avenue and Bloomfield Avenue in Cedar Grove, New Jersey. It was because
you're
was,
outside someplace.
We were in the car, and it scared the hell out of me. And I already knew. Okay. Oh. Did you have to dump that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Just out of safety.
So how do I say that?
You don't.
You don't. It involved urinating.
Yes.
In
the wrong place.
In the wrong area to right. begin with. Okay. That's how we thought you had place. Babies. So I already knew how to make babies, and then she was telling me obviously. The alternate way to have babies. So my mind was a little blown. Yeah. My wife, on the other hand, at 4 years old, asked her mother how her baby's made, and Terry Cox told Nikki Cox how... You know, this goes in here. And
at 4 years old?
At 4 years old. And my wife, after the full explanation, said, does it feel good?
Ooh. That's a good question.
I married a great woman.
You married the right woman.
And then she goes,
wow.
yeah, it does. It can. You know, and then she goes, well, do you sit on daddy's lap? And then she, like, wouldn't stop.
Right.
So I think each parent gets... In that you get, you know, you can get lucky like me where testicle balls get... It got bored for my son.
Right.
Boring. And then I thought that horrible thing, and then I had a mom, like, pull over the car and explain to me in great detail, and I was like, whoa, I already know how babies are made, mommy, please.
And then you get girls that married Nikki, did she call her mom and say, I thought you said it felt good?
You son of a bitch.
All right, Amazon.com pre-order. That's why we're here today. No wonder my parents drank, or just do a search for Jay Moore, M-O-H-R, in Amazon. Come on, let's get this into at least the top 40,000 before Jay leaves. We'll take a break when we return with more right after this on the Kevin DeBeach Show.
She starred in hundreds of landmark adult films and founded her own production company, Terravision.
This is Tara Patrick.
people really enjoy what I do, and it brings them happiness, so therefore it brings me happiness.
Oh, I'm so glad you're here. Time to put on some suntan lotion. Or would you rather rub this stuff all over me?
Hey. Oh. Dude, we're here. Look at this. Tara Patrick, what's been going on, girl?
We've got Snooki.
No, actually, Kevin, Tara Patrick is here. The book is in stores now called Sinner Takes All, A Memoir of Love and Porn. You can meet Tara tonight at Book Soup if you're lucky enough to be listening in Southern California. That's on Sunset Boulevard tonight starting at 7 o'clock to get your copy signed. Tara, welcome back to the Kevin and Bean Show. How are you?
Hi, I'm good. Thank you.
We were talking right before you came in about your book. You were kind enough to send over an advanced copy. You've got suicide attempt, nervous breakdown, divorce, heartache, heartbreak. I mean, you make porn sound like a lot of fun, girlfriend.
Yeah. Things have changed since we last talked. Lots been going on. I've been busy.
Yes, you have.
I've been busy killing myself. And
sounds like it. People may be surprised because you've been out there. Your name has been out there so much with Terravision, and people still hear about you and see you. But you've been retired from the business for quite a while now, right?
Yeah. I have. I've been doing other things, and it's been good. You know, I've moved on, and I mean, I'm still part of the business. You know, I still have my website, TaraPatrick.com, that I still run, and of course, the production company, Terravision. But writing the book was cathartic. It was something that I wanted to do for a really long time.
And how come?
Because my fans were asking for it for so long. They were like, there's so much stuff printed about you, but we don't know if it's true. We don't know anything about you. And I think it was just time. I was in the industry for 10 years, so it was just time to tell all the stories.
Do you remember some of the crazier ones where they would say, we heard fill in the blank, and it was ridiculous and not true?
Oh, yeah. Like, I mean, supposedly I speak fluent Hungarian.
Nice.
Why Hungarian?
I know. I'm like, couldn't it have been like French?
Just agree to that one. Why not?
Yeah, that's true.
What do you have to lose?
I was trying to figure out when I was reading the book, and I didn't read every page of it, but I certainly looked at every picture.
I hear that.
And by the way, let me tell you something about Tara's book. A lot of these books, they skimp on the photos. Tara's got tons of awesome photos, naked photos, color photos in her book. That alone worth picking it up.
That was just for you.
My question for you is, some girls, they get into the industry and they don't have an exit strategy. No pun intended. They don't think about. They think they're going to do it forever, and clearly there's going to come a time where it's going to be a little more difficult to get work. It sounded like you always knew there was going to be an end date, and you were smart enough to work toward that, and that's one of the reasons you were so successful, right?
Right. Well, I mean, you can't do porn forever. I mean, I guess you could. There's still some women that are in the industry that are still doing it, and that's God bless them. You know, that's good and everything, but I just wanted to do other things. I think that now it's just time to conquer another industry. I've always been ambitious, and once you do something that you've already done so many times, it's just time to move on.
And you did it well.
Thank you.
And there wasn't anywhere for you to go in terms of, you couldn't be any more successful or more famous. You'd won every award, right up to the Hall of Fame award that you won last year. So you might as well go out after winning the Super Bowl, basically, is how you looked at it.
Yeah.
So you're.
I was the MVP of porn, I guess.
Yes, you were. you are living in Las Vegas, of course, but working there. Are you doing a burlesque show out there? Is that the deal?
I am. I do. I live in Las Vegas now, which I love, and I'm working on a burlesque show with my manager, and I'm really excited about it. I can't announce the casino just yet, but I've always wanted to be a showgirl. It's going to be fun. It's kind of going to be like Pussycat Dolls meets Cirque du Soleil.
Really?
Yeah, I'm really excited.
And it's going to be kind of a permanent thing?
It is a permanent thing. Yeah, wow. I'm going to be doing it for a few years. So.
Great.
I would, if I lived in Las Vegas for a week, I would kill myself.
You know what? I thought the same thing, No, it's not like that.
Really?
It's not like that. It's really great. It's fun. There's always something to do. There's no traffic, which I love. No traffic.
Right.
It's so nice to just go 80 miles an hour. It's so nice.
Right.
That's legal in Nevada, right, Tara?
It is. Well, I say it is. I could talk my way out of anything,
of course,
or into anything.
That's true.
Of course.
That's true. Tara Patrick is here. The book is called Sinner Takes All, A Memoir of Love and Porn. What kind of, you've signed thousands of autographs over the years in lots of different places. What kinds of people will show up tonight? How creepy will it be at Book Soup at 7 o'clock in Hollywood?
I don't know. You know, I have a lot when I've made a lot of appearances in LA, so I do have a lot of fans that I know that are, familiar to me.
Right.
But
It just really depends. Actually, one in three of my fans is female. I have a lot of female fans, and they're
really?
Very aggressive. They'll come up and say, can I touch you? Can I grab your boobs? You know, they're the ones that say, well, yeah, they're really aggressive.
And your answer to them is always,
yeah.
Yeah, of course.
are there guys who, because like our friend Psycho Mike in the back of the room, who have spent the better part of his adult life studying your work, they believe they're having a relationship with you. Do you have guys that seriously think they're going to marry you and why don't you see it my way?
No.
Really? I'm surprised by that.
No, I don't. I don't. But Mike is cute.
Well, thank you.
I think we can make this happen.
Yeah. Play your cards right.
Mike's being strangely silent. Interesting. Very rarely is he intimidated by a woman.
If he liked girls,
yeah,
he would be excited right now.
He'd be going crazy right now.
You guys don't understand. Just working my game.
Oh, right. There's a strategy here.
Sure.
All right. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we want to talk about some of the highs and lows in the story because it is a fascinating journey that you took. The book is called Sinner Takes All, A Memoir of Love and Porn. It is available everywhere. You can meet Miss Patrick tonight at 7 at the Book Soup. Tonight and tomorrow night, is that right, or just tonight?
Just tonight.
Just one night, right? Just tonight. Okay. Tonight at 7 o'clock, Book Soup, 8181 Sunset Boulevard. A quick break. We'll return right after this on The Kevin and Bean Show.
These guys are always a good time, aren't they? 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It is 28 minutes after 9 o'clock.
Ralph will be along with another look at the Showbiz Beat in a few minutes here on the Kevin and Bean Show. This is a red letter day. My favorite day of 2010 so far because our friend Tara Patrick is in the studio. Her book is called Sinner Takes All, A Memoir of Love and Porn. It is in stores and available online everywhere. You can meet Tara tonight at 7 at Book Soup on Sunset Boulevard in West Hollywood. I thought it was interesting. I read your book. I also read Jenna's book, and we had her in when it came out. And you two are arguably the biggest porn stars of all time. And both of you said the same thing that I thought was interesting that I think surprises a lot of people, which is that porn is a place for women to go if they really want to be in control of their careers. Yeah. But so many people seem to think it's the opposite. Is that one of the things you wanted to write about in the book?
Yeah, definitely.
The opposite meaning it's a last resort?
No.
Or what? I didn't understand Bean's question.
He's so behind me. It's like
he is behind you. Yeah.
He's hey behind now. Me. Yeah.
A lot of people think that we saw that one too.
A
lot of people, Kevin, when they think about porn, think that women are the ones who are being manipulated, that they're being used in porn. And what Tara found out is that she could go in and she could be the boss.
I got you.
Absolutely. Because women, in a way, you know, like we're in control. Like people think that we're doing it against our will and that, you know, I mean, I love what I do and it shows. Yeah. I mean, I loved what I did and I made money. I owned my own company. And
women make a ton more money than guys, don't they?
Yes, yeah. We do. And
rightfully so.
Yes, we do. But well, actually, you know what? It's kind of funny because men are really the mechanics in the movie. You know, men have to, we could lay there and have a headache. The guys have to do a lot of the work.
Right, but no one's looking at the guys.
No one's looking at the guys. They're looking at us. So we win.
Right.
We win. Yes.
That's the way it works.
You talk about how you made some of those first-time porn star mistakes, though, with your original contract. And I think that's the best advice you could give girls who are thinking about the industry is to pick up your book and read that chapter because you did everything wrong when you got into the industry, right?
I did.
You couldn't have screwed up more.
I did everything wrong, and I did everything wrong.
What is doing everything wrong? What does that mean?
Well, the biggest mistake I made was I signed my first contract with the first video company that I signed with without an attorney.
Okay.
So I signed over my intellectual property, and that was devastating because when I decided to leave them, I couldn't work as Tara Patrick. So I had to go into litigation get my name back. And that was really hard because I wanted to continue my career in the industry because I'd made a name for myself and I'd made money. So I wanted to keep going. And they were like, oh, no. You can't.
We own that.
We own that. Wow. So it was like, wow, how did I do that? You know, I didn't know. I was naive. I didn't know.
And they were making a lot more money off of you than you were making off of you, too, which is another thing that you managed to rectify later in your career.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Now, your production company, you still doing that a lot?
I am. I own TerraVision, which is an adult production company. We release 4 Tara Patrick movies a year, the latest one being Reign of Tara 3, which is out right now. And actually, if you go to my website, terratrailers.com, you can see free trailers of all my movies.
There you go.
From TerraVision. Yes. And they're free. They're free, guys.
They're free.
They're free.
What was the hardest thing for you to put on the paper when you were writing your book? Were there some chapters in your life that were difficult for you to revisit and tell?
No, because I wrote the whole book on champagne, so it was really easy.
Yes.
No.
I like
it. Well, I wrote the book with a writer, Carrie Borzillo, who wrote another book called Cherry Bomb. And we basically got a bottle of champagne every night and just started talking. And we recorded all my sessions. And, you know, I think probably the hardest was talking about my mom, because I had a really, really hard upbringing with her. But now, through the course of the book, we rekindled our relationship. My mom and I are very close now. I dedicated the book to her. She's a big part of my life. Wow. But early in my childhood, we had a lot of struggles.
I got to tell you, there are a lot of people who say that early in my childhood, I had trouble with one parent. And it never changes.
Really?
Most of the time, it never changes.
She's amazing. And she's really been my source of strength right now. I'm kind of at a crossroads in my life right now where, I mean, I'm on to a new career. I'm doing really well. I'm really, really happy. But you know, at the same time, it's hard to be on the top. You know what I mean? People are always pawing at you, and there's like, it's demanding.
I've seen that one, too.
Hey, wait a minute.
I've seen all those scenes.
Yeah, it was easy being on top. What am I talking about? You know, forget all that. No. Life is good. Life is really good. But my mom has really been there for me, and it's good to have family.
I thought it was so interesting, by the way, Tara. Sorry to interrupt. And I think this is another thing that surprised me about the book and may surprise others who have a conception of what it's like for women who choose porn as a career.
Right.
100% support, it seems like, from your friends and family, especially your family, your sister, your dad, your mom. Yes. From the very beginning, they all said, hey, we love you and we respect your decision. Just be safe and have fun, right?
Right, yeah. I mean, my parents' biggest concern, because people always ask, what do your parents think about what you do?
Right.
And I'm like, you know, they respect my choice because, you know, at the same time, they know that, you know, I didn't get into drugs. I don't do anything against my will. I mean, they know that I've made most of my decisions, I should say all of my decisions, except for a few, with, you know, clear and consciously. And so my mom is very proud of me. She tells me all the time, you have a gift. You're a beautiful woman. You know, go out there and...
She's right, first of all.
Go out there and raise hell.
But let's talk about your dad, because that's got to be rough. Because I would think... It would be rough, all of his friends.
Yeah, my dad.
They would all make it hard on your dad.
Well,
I would think.
He did have a hard time with it, but.
Saw that one?
Yeah.
Oh, sorry. Yeah. I mean, I imagine all his friends would call him and say, oh, I saw her in this and the movie, blah, blah, blah.
Well, I mean, it's hard for a dad. You know, it's hard for a dad. But I think his proudest moment was when I was on the cover of High Times.
That was his proudest moment. There you go.
My dad's like an old hippie, you know. Right. So he was like, wow, that's cool, you know. But
you made High Times.
I was the ganja goddess.
Yeah. We are talking to Tara Patrick. The book is available everywhere, called Sinner Takes All, A Memoir of Love and Porn. You can meet Tara.
You should have
tonight.
Titled it The Ganja Goddess.
At 7 at Book Soup. You're single now. A lot of people who haven't been paying attention don't know you did get divorced from Evan. So what is it like for you as a single woman to start thinking about dating and looking for somebody who's maybe not going to – I mean, there are people who will want to date you because you're famous and because they know who you are, and you got to try to weed through that. What's that like?
Well, I don't care. It's fun. No, I'm just kidding. Use me. It's okay. No, well, I don't know. I've been making the moves on Mike, and he's not.
Well, he's not picking up at all. I'm so disappointed in Mike.
Before you came in, Psycho Mike was telling us about how he's probably watched more footage of you than any actress in any other realm.
Yes.
Movies, TV, anything.
Wow.
But then he's gay, too, so.
Oh, you know what? What is that? I'm in love with Anderson Cooper too.
Yep.
No,
allegedly.
It's been fun dating. I'm having a really good time, and Vegas is like the best place for that. So,
do you get hit on a lot?
I do. It's funny, but guys are really nervous. So, but guys are really confident in groups.
Sure.
They're really confident in groups. So, I'll be out with my girlfriends or whatever, and then I'll see like a group of guys, and one of them's kind of like, okay, you know, I'm going to go talk to her. And they're all like, yeah, man, you can do it. You can do it. Go
you
talk
can
to
see
her.
The whole vibe.
Yeah, you can do it. You know, they're like cheering the one guy on. They're like cheering him on. And he's like looking at me. And it's just cute.
And then you just put your hand up when he's coming over. And he's like, no, don't even come over here.
No, I do. You know, it's funny. I'm like, I'm drinking PJ Rosé.
Well, it is a it's a fascinating read for, let's face it, even people who aren't interested in being in the industry are interested in how the industry works. And you do a good job of describing that from the inside and the out. So check it out. Sinner Takes All, A Memoir of Love and Porn, available everywhere in bookstores and online. And you can meet Tara tonight at the Book Soup at 7 o'clock. It's always great to have you on the Kevin and Bean Show. You know we've been fans of yours for a real long time. So thanks for coming in, all right?
Thank you. And TaraPatrick.com.
Big shout out to the 559, the loyal Kevin and Bean listeners up there who I'm sure have managed to help make Fresno the drunkest city in America. That's very impressive.
It really is. It's hard to believe that, you know, any city would, I mean, you would always have arguments about other cities.
Sure.
We were talking about New Orleans. We were talking about places like Seattle where people get depressed because it's cloudy. You're talking about anyone that lives in New Jersey. I mean, there are a lot of places where you would need to drink, but Fresno is the drunkest city in America.
Woohoo!
Now, I have heard a fantastic radio show on satellite, and it's on a rap channel, and it's called the N-word, What You Sippin'. And what they do is they take calls from people, and they just go, N-word, What You Sippin'? And then they tell them, Crevassier, and then they go, all right, next call.
That's really? All, that's the show?
Yes, that's the
it's
whole
It's just a roll call of what yes. people are drinking while they're listening to the show?
Water.
Water? What?
And then they go on. It's ridiculous, but we thought we would do that with Fresno this morning, as they are the drunkest city in America. Now, I guess they rank this with a lot of different things. Death rates from alcoholic liver disease, number of DUIs.
Okay.
Okay.
Frequency of binge drinking.
Right.
Which I'm guessing puts it right over the top.
Right.
So we're going to do a little feature we like to call Fresno What You Sippin'.
Fresno What You Be Sippin'. Fresno What You Be Sippin'.
We want to find out right now what you be sippin'.
Fresno What You Be Sippin'. Fresno What You Be Sippin'.
What you sippin'?
Let's find out right now what Fresno sippin'.
Fresno What You Sippin'.
All right. If you're really drunk, by the way, those horns don't help this morning. You can call at 1-800-520-1067. If you are listening to us at KFRR in Fresno, we want to hear from you. Find out what it is you're sipping today. If you're drinking or drunk right now, that's the people that we want to hear from.
You know what? Also,
hungover.
Hungover as well. Or people who used to live there and know why. Maybe that would help as
well. A little insight. Sure.
Okay. Take any of those
right.
calls.
Let's start with Tom. He's on line two today. He is calling us from Fresno. Hi, Tom. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. How are you, my friend?
Morning, guys. How are you?
Good.
What's going on, dude?
Not much.
Fresno, what you sipping?
Are you drinking today, Tom?
Yeah, I'm actually, I had a few drinks this morning, but I'm driving to work now.
Good.
So I'm,
that's a perfect combination. That's what you want to do in general is drink and then drive.
What time do you start drinking in the mornings when you wake up, Tom?
Well, you know, we have a problem with water here in Fresno, so we, you know, we tend to start with booze first
sure.
thing in the morning.
Yeah,
we,
it's because
we don't have much water at all.
Oh, I thought the problem with the water is that it makes your drinks too soft.
Yeah.
I thought that was the problem. It waters down your drinks. You don't want that.
No. The farmers complain about not being able to grow. We don't have any water to drink either.
Well, and there's no way to get it in bottles, so that's out.
So you got to go straight to alcohol.
All well, right. Bottles are only good for one thing, and that's transporting alcohol.
Okay. All right.
Okay.
There you
All
go.
Right. There's
our
go.
Man.
That's Tom. Tom's the guy we were looking for. Exactly.
Tom helped that city become number one.
All right. Let's try line five, please. John is calling in. Kevin, do you have a question for John?
Fresno, what you sipping?
Hey, John.
How's it going?
Good. You already drunk?
A little bit, yeah.
what's your poison, John?
What you sipping?
I am sipping on a little Hennessy and Sprite this morning.
Hennessy yeah. and Sprite.
Yeah. Hennessy?
Nice.
Now, how does that work out for whatever plans you have for the day?
Well, I just sip a little bit throughout the day, you know, just keep me going throughout the day.
Bean, I'm guessing that his plan for the day is Hennessy and Sprite.
Okay, in that case, it's fine, right?
I got an appointment at 12 o'clock with another bottle of Hennessy and Sprite.
Okay, all right.
All right, sounds like fun. Thank
Good
you
work.
For the call. Let's try Joel, line four. Again, inviting you in the 559 to give us a call, toll-free, 1-800-520-1067. Joel, what you sipping?
Kevin and Bean, what's happening, brothers?
Joel, what do you had this morning?
No, it's not about what I had this morning, man. It's what I've been drinking all night.
Okay. All night, yes.
Have you had the new Lemonade Rockstar, my brothers?
The new Lemonade Rockstar.
No, I haven't.
It is the ish.
Thank you for self-editing.
I issue not. It is the ish, man. Okay. You got to get that. It's yellow can, black top, vodka, man.
Oh, it's vodka. Okay.
Kind of vodka. If you ain't a baller, get pop off, you know? If that's all you can afford, you'd be rocking the pop off, man.
All right. Sounds good, Joel. Hey, Joel, let me ask you this.
Fresno, what you sipping?
Well, we got the answer to that. Why do you think Fresno is the drunkest city in America?
Well, I don't really know about Fresno, guys. I'm calling from Anaheim Hills. I lied to you, but...
Oh, you're so creative.
Indeed. Hills is the drunkest city.
It isn't, though. You're getting
it's
beat.
It's not, though. It's not even in the top 10.
You're getting beat by Fresno. They're serving you.
Oh, F Fresno. Man.
Listen, they're ahead. What are you talking about? They're winning. You're behind.
Wow, the battle's on.
I'm drunk on the 55 North, baby. Ah. I'm going to work. Roger Dunn right now. You don't worry about that.
I got bad news for you, man. You're Canada hockey. Fresno's USA hockey, man. I'm sorry. All right. Thank you for the call. Let's talk to Linda, who does have insight on Fresno. She's on line 6. Hey, Linda, thanks for calling the Kevin and Bean Show. What do you got?
Hi.
Fresno, what you sipping?
So I used to live in Fresno, and I don't anymore because I was drunk all the time. And if you heard a couple of the guys, that's another reason. The guys there suck, but there's nothing to do, Bean. There's nothing to do. You have to drink.
But isn't that true? Drink. Here's the thing about that, though. I think that's true in a lot of cities. So what is it to make Fresno stand out? As number one, there have to be a lot of cities where there's nothing to do. By the way, you know what? Second, Reno.
Yeah.
Reno, Nevada.
There's a lot to do there.
Because that's a party city. But, you know, in Fresno, I'm going to say there's also a strong religious contingency. And so you have to drink just to, like, find some normalcy in your life.
Oh, what? I don't even understand that. So there's a lot of religions, so
there's a lot of religions, and so the people that, like, have to go because their parents are making them go, they end up drinking because they can't stand going to church.
I see.
Like that. So you have to drink just to.
But if that's the case, why isn't a place like Salt Lake City the most religious city in America? Why isn't that the drunkest city?
You can't drink
Salt Lake. The Mormons are so much better than the other Christians.
How dare you?
Last question, Linda. Is this true or false? Did you really move away from Fresno because you were drunk?
Yeah, because I was drinking and I was gaining weight, and I had to lose weight.
That's awesome.
So I had to, come to L.A. and start working out.
I'll tell you, the one time we broadcast from Fresno, we were drunk by 5 a.m.
Yep.
Yes, Mike. All the towns on the list, including Fresno, are all small towns with a lot of drunk townies, but they also have a college in them. So you're taking a bunch of drunk dudes and you're adding in the influx of a bunch of drunk kids coming in from all over the country.
You got Reno at number 2. You got Billings, Montana at number 3. Riverside, number 4. Austin, Texas, number 5.
All college towns.
Makes sense.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Okay.
All right. Well, do we want to take any more? We have a ton of them.
No, but God bless Fresno.
Fresno, what you sipping?
We'll be talking to Harvey Levin from TMZ.com. Catch up with all the celebrity news over the weekend, including a report for Reels that Heidi has left Spencer. Apparently a TMZ exclusive we will discuss in minutes, plus Matt Money Smith will be on to preview the NBA Finals for us. So, Lisa, you're the only person I know who saw Sex and the City 2, but as you mentioned a few minutes ago, the people who made that film have got to be very disappointed with the box office this weekend. I mean, this is a franchise that was on the air for years and years. The first movie was a huge hit.
Yeah.
The new one opened kind of soft.
Yeah, $33 million is not at all what they were expecting, I don't think.
That seems like a lot to me, but...
Well, I guess for a regular movie, but this is the one that the girls all take their girlfriends to. It's just, and we don't care if it's good. We're going.
Yeah, well, I guess
but
that's
true. But
it
may just be the length of time now between when the series was and the second movie. Plus, reviews were good, but I don't think they were very good for the first one.
Yeah,
either.
But you don't go on reviews.
Yeah, I don't care.
I mean, there are a lot of people who I went to Prince of Persia, for example, this
there
weekend.
And
everyone told you that was going to be bad.
Right.
Well, we got a surprise for you, Lisa. We would never, ever, ever do this for us because we don't care. But producer Alex and you are so crazy about this goddamn Sex and the City that we thought it might be a thrill for you to talk to Sarah Jessica Parker. We've got her on the phone right now.
Oh, my God. That's awesome.
Sarah Jessica Parker, Carrie herself from Sex and the City. Hi, Sarah. How are you? Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Aw.
We're good. Thank you.
That's not fair. That's a horse.
Yeah. I agree. We thought it probably would make more than $30 million. I mean, that makes sense.
What, if you can guess, and I know that you're an actress and you're proud of your work, but what do you think? What do you think went wrong this time around? Well, I thought the camels in the desert were a little over the top too. I can understand, but it must have been fun for you guys, you and the actresses, to film in another part of the world, right?
Does it bother you when the critics write such bad things about a movie? Yeah. No, you're right. They don't listen. You're right. They go anyway.
Wow.
Is there... Now, based on the success of this movie, which, I mean, I imagine they would consider a success long term.
They'll still make money, right.
Have you already been talked to about Sex and the City 3?
Oh, yeah. So you don't know yet. It's really kind of out of your hands, huh? Does there come a point at which, and no offense intended here, Sarah, that you and the actresses are maybe too old to do this sort of role, or is that part of... Oh, it's not. Okay. Because you think that's part of the magic of the franchise is it gives older women role models too, huh?
Are you bothered by the fact that people say you look like a horse?
Sarah? Kevin. We're having a nice chat.
People set the world right now, Kevin. Good job.
How dare you? What a dick.
Come on now.
Anyone else ends their songs with woo, by the way, and they never live it down. For some reason, they get away with it. I don't know how they do that. All right, last night was the long-awaited first interview with Jesse James. He has been remarkably quiet since the scandal broke a couple of months ago that led to his divorce with actress Sandra Bullock. But last night, he sat down with a woman from Nightline. By the way, 30-minute show, 29 minutes of it is Jesse James, 40 seconds on the oil spill. That's how Nightline rolls these days.
Well, that's the first interview. You know, you can see that.
I'm just saying, I felt this way since the whole thing broke. It's sad. I feel bad that they broke up. Lots of couples go through this, so he cheated. What business is it of ours? I felt really kind of dirty watching this interview last night, because why do I care?
You know what I mean? You watched it, and you brought in highlights.
Here's Jesse. One of the first questions was talking about how could you, and by the way, this interviewer hated him so much, how could you be on your lady's arm through all the Oscar season and all those dinners and all those banquets and all those awards ceremonies knowing that you were cheating on her and that you were going to get caught? Didn't that drive you crazy?
Was it in the back of your mind, I'm going to get caught? Did you know it was about to crumble?
I don't think it was just at award shows. I think it was every day in life.
In fact, Jesse goes on to say that she not only suspected, but that he knew it was going to happen at some point, that he could not keep sustaining this lifestyle.
How long had it been going on? Do you get the idea of that?
He doesn't. He's very sketchy on details, and you'll hear some direct questions coming up that he just says, I'm not going to answer. It's bad enough that I cheated on my wife. But here he is talking about how his wife might have suspected that he had girlfriends on the side.
Did she have any idea any of this was going on, or that this hit her like a ton of bricks?
I think she's had her suspicions, you know, in the past, but, you know, I lied and lied my way out of it. You know, I lied to everyone about everything, even to myself, you know.
We've had 5 women come forward now. Did you have affairs with all of them?
I wouldn't believe everything you read in tabloids. I was unfaithful to my wife, and I'm not going to put any kind of count to it. And just the fact that, you know, I took a perfect marriage and a perfect wife and perfect life and stepmother and, like, threw it away because of my actions. It doesn't matter. It could have been a million. It doesn't, you know, bad is bad no matter what it is.
So he's saying he had sex with a million women, right?
No,
that's what I took away from
if
that.
If he did, it would be just as bad.
Yeah.
Now, I remember when we had this conversation around the Tiger Woods affairs, Lisa, and you said it does make a difference whether you had a girl on the side or whether you were nailing everything that moved if you're the wife, right?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of couples go through some sort of dalliance, right?
Right.
And they get over it. You can maybe get over one depending on the circumstances. You can't get over 10.
Well, but wait, let me ask you a question about that, because if it's 10 and it's meaningless, isn't that better than one that means something to him?
Like, ooh, if, good question.
You know what's even better? You know what one I mean? That doesn't mean anything to him.
Okay, no, I know.
That's
but I'm saying
the one I get over. The right. Rest, I'm out.
The rest, you're out. All right.
So this interviewer, who again was a black woman who really hated Jesse James, she's pounding him, and not in a good way, on why he would cheat on America's sweetheart. Why, Jesse? Why?
I don't know. It's hard for me to talk about a little bit because, You know, I still really love her and care about her.
And that's the thing. That's the million-dollar question. You had the perfect life. You had the perfect wife. Why did you throw it away?
I don't know. You know, during the midst of all of it and when I was doing it, I knew it was horrible. It made me feel horrible. And two, I knew I would get caught eventually, and I think I wanted to get caught. It was me trying to self-sabotage my life.
So you're saying this didn't start because you were bored or because Sandra was away on a shoot or...
No.
All right, now here's the part, and we've got just a couple more clips left. Jesse James on last night's Nightline. What I haven't heard before, where Jesse thinks this kind of behavior comes from.
Not at all.
Or because you didn't love her, or you weren't happy in the marriage?
Everything that happened in our marriage and everything that I said and every good moment on for her and for me and for the kids, none of it was bullshit. It was all real. I'm doing it because, you know, I've basically never felt good enough for anyone.
Uh-oh. Now we got mommy and daddy issues. Mm. Why'd you go to rehab, Jesse? Here's where he gets into what kind of work was actually done, because we've never heard this from him before. Remember, it's all been speculation right at this point. What kind of rehab? Why did he go?
What did you go to rehab for? Did you go for sex addiction? Did you go for anger management?
Those were two of the things I was there for, but the main thing I was there for was being a victim of childhood abuse.
Okay. What about that? What about pulling out the child abuse card and that's why I'm screwed up? And is it a little bit of, it's not my fault, I can't help it because of my life?
Are you not believing him? I get that you don't believe him.
No, I do believe him. I just think lots of people have gone through that and maybe haven't cheated on their wives. You know what I mean? I don't know enough about it. Maybe we'll ask Dr. Drew this tomorrow about the correlation between one to the other.
I got to tell you, from the charity work, I work with abused women and children. It's a lifelong, you don't get over that.
And if you haven't dealt with it.
So I don't know that it's an excuse or not an excuse. I'm just saying it is possibly that he has never dealt with it.
But Bean, I get the feeling that you're saying anything he says that's other than I'm sorry is an excuse. And I don't get that as an excuse. I get it as him understanding some of the reasons why he did what he did, but I don't see him offering it up as an excuse.
I agree with you. I agree with you completely. I'm not hating on Jesse at all. I believe he's manned up and has taken responsibility for his own poor decisions. I do. But it was such a surprise to me to hear it go back to this. And he talks a little bit more about the things he learned in rehab on this topic of him being abused as a kid.
I was always scared. My whole childhood, I never had a chance to be a kid. I just remember the clenched teeth, strained neck look on his face, you know.
Did he beat you?
He beat my ass pretty good a bunch of times, you know. Football star, bike builder, Monster Garage, TV star. All that stuff is a huge smokescreen so people won't see that I'm a scared, abused kid.
All right, now I'm bummed out.
You want to talk to Dr. Drew?
Sure.
Oh, is he on the phone right now?
Yep.
Yes.
Dr. Drew.
Hey, Doc. There we are, guys.
Hey there.
So, of course that's what's behind this. That's always trauma. Childhood trauma is what creates sexual addiction. It's what fuels alcoholism addiction. It's why he doesn't know, why there's no rational explanation for why he did what he did.
So it's not, is it an excuse? It's not an excuse.
No, it's the source of all this. Of course that was there. I mean, when you really look at him, when he's talking about his experiences, he looks like a little boy. He's literally arrested developmentally from the trauma. He's disconnected from his emotions, so he has these motivations that push him to do things, A, to sabotage good things because he's not worthy of them, and B, to try to regulate unregulated emotions left over by trauma with highly arousing and threatening experiences and drugs and alcohol and sex. Did you guys not watch Sex Rehab? It's always there.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it sounds like what you're saying is Jesse James was kind of forced into rehab because of the explosion of his marriage, but had he realized he needed help years ago and gone and gotten it, he might have avoided what happened with the affairs, right?
Well, I think she didn't ask the right questions, of course. He's had previous treatment for his alcoholism and drug use. What happens sometimes when people don't fully embrace recovery, the behavioral addictions then emerge full force, like gambling and sexual addiction. So he's had previous treatment. He has never fully dealt with these things. And I don't think he still fully has. I mean, he needs to be like Tiger and focus on his treatment full time. These are very serious issues. It takes years.
first of all, he's got motorcycles to build, and that takes priority. And second of all, it kind of freaks me out that we say the word Dr. Drew, and the next thing I know, he's on the phone. Like, how does this even happen?
I have to monitor Psycho Mike. I never know what I'm getting in the evening when he comes in. I have to see what you guys are. Speaking of abuse, but he's a victim of abuse every morning, and I got to deal
with
that every
night.
That's true. All right. As always, Drew, you put the proper spin on it. We appreciate you calling. We'll talk to you this hour again tomorrow, too. All right? Thanks a lot, Dr. Drew. All right. There you go. There's Jesse from Nightline last night, if you missed it. So you are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. Very excited. I may be the only one, but I'm very excited about new Jack Johnson music. It is called You and Your Heart, and we'll be playing it for you next right here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Am I alone in liking Jack Johnson? I feel a little weenie for saying that, but I'm a huge fan of his.
Well, you're a weenie for a lot of reasons, but he does really good music, and the key to him is that if you go to a Jack Johnson show, that is where the hottest girls in the world congregate.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So yeah, exactly. So anyway, that's a... Coming up next, new Jack Johnson on the way from the Kevin and Bean Show.
First, a new feature. 911 is a joke.
To get up, get down. 911 is joking, yo.
There are so many of these now. There are so many 911 calls because now they put them up pretty much. Bean spent his entire day yesterday going through 911.
Oh, that'd be fun.
And here's my whole thing. I believe very strongly, in fact, that 911 calls should not be released to
the
public. I think it's a horrible invasion of the privacy of the people who are involved in the calls, except when it's really funny, in which case then they should say, okay, I don't care how bad it makes this person look who called 911, let's go ahead and release it. And the beautiful thing about living in 2010 is they all end up on YouTube, and that's why it's so much fun to spend your afternoon listening to their calls.
So we have a section at kevinandbean.com. Go there, click on 911 as a joke. And then you can see all one after another. They're just fantastic. The first one, I'm sure you've heard the woman in the Burger King ordering a burger, and they're not getting it right. So she calls 911.
Sheriff's Department, how can I help you? Yeah, I'm over here at Burger King right here in San Clemente. I ordered my food 3 times. They're mopping the floor inside, and I understand they're busy. They're not even busy. Okay, I've been the only car here. I asked them 4 different times to make me a Western barbecue burger. She gave me another hamburger. It's wrong. I said 4 times. I said, I want it. She goes, can you go out and park in front? I said, no. I want my hamburger right.
Okay, so she calls 911. That one goes on and on and on and on. And finally, the operator says, ma'am, do you want me to send a police car over so they can make you a hamburger right? Like, she's just out of her mind. She can't even get her head around this.
It's amazing, the patience. And we've had 911 operators on the show as guests before. We've done an Ask a 911 Operator. The patience that they show... I mean, would you snap the first 20 seconds in that job?
Oh, I would be so fired. But here's the thing. I would either get fired for being rude, or I would play with that woman all day. I would go, all right, so what is it? You need pickles? Is that it? Pickles? I mean,
I'm writing this down, ma'am.
Right. I mean, and it would go on for 15 minutes, and then I'd get in trouble because 3 other people died. So either way, I'd get fired. This next one is a 4-year-old who is doing math homework.
Okay.
And needs help. So what do you do?
911 emergency.
Yeah, I need some help.
What's the matter?
My math.
Was your mouth?
So was my math.
He thought they said mouth because he's a 911 operator, so why would...
Sure, of course.
No, I need help with my math.
I have to do it. 5, take away 5.
5, take away 5. And how much do you think that is?
Now he helps.
5. Johnny, what are you doing?
Mom. It's her mother. Yeah. Hey, Mom, how about helping him with his math? So he doesn't have to call 911. So cute. And the operator started helping.
That is so...
What do you think 5 takeaway 5 is?
I love that.
How great is that?
Awesome.
We played this, I believe, earlier in the week. A woman called 911 on herself for drunk driving.
Yeah.
This
called
is pretty great.
On herself. Sounds like it's a guy, but it isn't. It's a woman. Mm-hmm. And she's telling them that there's a drunk driver that she wants to report.
Clark 2911.
Somebody's really drunk driving down Granton Road.
Okay, are you behind them or?
No, I am them.
You am them?
Yes, I am them.
Okay, so you want to call and report that you're driving drunk?
Yes.
How great is that?
You know, most people aren't that motivated with the drunk. I have to applaud her for taking that step.
Why would she do that?
Because she's a teacher.
Yeah, why not just pull over if you recognize you're drunk? Exactly.
It's so weird that somebody would do that. We have come to depend on electricity. And it's been a long time since people have not had electricity. Like, for example, this woman in her car, everything is electric. It's all computerized and everything else. So she locks herself in her car, and she can't figure out how to get out. And it's starting to get hot, and she started to feel bad. So she calls 911. This is our new feature. 911 is a joke. Go to KevinandBean.com to see these.
What's the emergency?
I'm locked inside my car. Nothing electrical works, and it's getting very hot in here, and I'm not feeling well. I need some help.
Are you able to put the lock up on the door and open the door?
I'm trying. Okay. All right, I got that going. Okay.
So are you able to get out of the car now?
Yes, I got the door open.
Okay.
All right, so she called because she couldn't get out because the electrical part of the car wasn't working.
And it never occurred to
her. Didn't occur to her to reach over and pull the handle.
Isn't that awesome? Every once in a while, I just rented a car in Mexico last week, and it didn't have power windows. And it took me a second to remember, oh, yeah, there's a way to manually lower windows. Yeah. For just a second, I was thinking, what do I do now? But I think I could have figured out a way out of any car, even if it were locked.
Every race has a group of people that embarrass them. Where you go, I wish those people weren't a part of my race.
They weren't representing
every
me.
Race has yeah. them. You know, black hat people have them, Asian people. Every race has the dumbasses that make them look stupid. This is the white guy, and he needs a bambulance, as he says, because he hit a deer. He hit a deer, and he's at the mother effing payphone. And this is just gold.
I need a bambulance. Who is this? A Joe. Okay. Where do you need us? I'm in my phone booth. Let me tell you what. I'm going down.
All right, so he says, where do you need it? Meaning the location. The guy says, I'm in a mother effing phone booth.
It doesn't help.
Like
right?
The guy's supposed to, we'll
it's
just meet
Joe
you.
Joe in a phone booth.
Right. So now he starts describing what happened. He's driving down the effing road.
I was driving my car, minding my own goddamn business, and a motherfucking deer jumped out and hit my car.
All right, so a deer jumped out and hit his car.
Okay.
Right. I get out and pick the motherfucking deer up. I thought he's dead. I put the deer in my back seat, and I'm driving down the road and minding my own business. The woke up and bit me in the back of my goddamn neck. I'm in my phone booth.
All right, so the deer wasn't dead, woke up in the back seat of his car, got up, and bit him in the neck.
Yeah.
And now he's giving the operator again the information that he's at a mother effing phone booth.
The deer bit me in the neck. A big dog came up and bit me in the leg. I hit him with the tire iron and I stabbed him with my knife. So I got a hurt leg and a deer.
Okay, so the deer is alive but bit him in the neck. And then he stopped at the mother effing phone booth to make the call. And then a dog came up to try and get, I guess, a wild dog or maybe who knows what it was, and attacked him at the phone booth.
So this guy's having a bad day.
So now he's fighting off the dog because the dog wants to get at the deer. And now, so he's got two wild animals going, right?
Bit me in the neck. And the deer and the dog wanted me out of the phone booth.
Yeah, wanted him out of the phone booth. The dog was not happy with him being in the phone booth. So there's that guy.
Oh, God.
I'm not a fan. B, we don't have time to do this.
This guy hallucinating.
I know. We got so many great
ones. Let's take a break and come back.
Okay.
Because
you can't stop.
I'm unwilling to not play some of these.
Yes.
Including the cop that calls 911 because he is high and thinks he's going to die.
Well, that I understand.
Right. But he's a cop. So we'll continue with this in just a minute on the Kevin and B.
Again, that's new from Jack Johnson. You and Your Heart is what it's called. The album is going to be called To the Sea, out on June 1st. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show on a Wednesday. It's our new feature, really making a big impact today, called 911 is a Joke.
Insert music here. Wish I had it.
I was expecting that.
I wish I had it. Sorry, no, that's my bad. We have a lot of 911 calls, and we just love them so much.
They're the best.
The really bad, dumb ones. The next one is a woman who is calling because her mailman is on her floor of her house. He's laying on the floor of her house.
Well, that seems legit.
That's what you need to know.
What was that, man? Okay, the ambulance is almost there. Just tell me what happened.
Okay, now.
What?
It's really hard to understand her, so I'm gonna help.
All right.
I gave him a scratch ticket.
Like he's just in shock, man.
No, he won $200,000.
He won $200,000 with the scratch.
Painted?
With the scratch ticket.
Painted? No.
She smacked the out of him with a frying pan and took it back because it was worth $200,000.
So, here, have this scratch ticket as long as it's worthless.
Right.
Oh, wait, it's a winner? Here, give me back.
And, of course, he didn't, so frying pan.
Frying pan.
What was that?
I started breathing again.
By the way, you hear the frying pan like four times.
Oh, yeah.
God. It's just unbelievable.
She's going to kill
me. Sounds like
an
episode of Curb Your Enthusiasm.
The first time I saw this next one, I thought, we have a charity for abused women and children. Domestic violence, not funny.
Yeah.
Mother wants to kill her son. However, I listened to it, and it's so cartoonish. This woman is so angry at her 15-year-old son that she calls 911 to say, I'm going to kill him if you don't send someone over right now.
Oh,
okay.
Wow.
And
well,
she is out of her effing mind.
Tell me what's going on. My son is disrespectful. I need an officer out here before I be committing a 187 because I'm about to kill this little bitch.
Ma'am, how old is your son?
He's 15. And
what?
I need help. And if I don't get it, I'm going to kill this motherfucker with this hammer. And I swear to God, if you don't send no motherfucking officer out here, I'm going to be blood splattered. Every motherfucker going to be an O.J. Simpson in this motherfucking house.
So she's got a hammer. And there's going to be an O.J. Simpson in this mother effing house.
Did she say sure. She was going to commit a 187?
Yes,
she did.
Yes.
I need an officer, and I need him out here quick. I'm going to commit to beat his mother ass, and I hope you recorded every thing that I'm saying, because I'm sick of tired of this mother.
Ma'am, what's your name?
Monica Wilson. I brought him in this mother world. I'll take his mother ass out.
Yeah.
She hangs up. Now, I don't know what happened. I'm just going to take for granted, for my own peace of mind, that it went well, that everything is fine.
Wow.
There's no problems. And finally, a guy calls 911 because he's OD'd on marijuana. Now, so far, as far as I understand, that's not possible.
Yeah, I don't think, I mean, you'd be really, really baked, but nah, you can't hurt yourself, really, OD'ing on marijuana, right?
Okay, what's the emergency?
Yeah, can you please send rescue? I think I'm having an overdose at school as my wife.
Overdose of what?
Marijuana. I don't know if it had something in it. I think we're dying.
Okay, how much did you guys have?
I don't know. We made brownies, and I think we're dead. I really do.
I think we're dead. I think we're dead, he said. That guy was a cop, by
the
way.
That's the best part.
P.S., that guy was a cop.
Oh.
Go to KevinandBean.com. 911 is a joke.
To get up or get down. 911 is joking. Go down.
You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. Stand by. Ralph Garman has tickets for Robin Hood starring Russell Crowe that you can win. Get a chance to see that before it hits theaters. That is on the way. Also, the Dudesons, the poor man's Jackass. They wouldn't mind me saying that, right? They would consider themselves the same, I think.
That.
Okay. Anyway, they're going to come in and do bad things to each other's nets here in about a half an hour or so right here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Kevin, I know there's a lot of television out there. I know it's impossible to keep up with all the shows, and it pains me to hear people talking about a show I'm not watching that they say is great, and I feel like I ought to be on board. But you can't watch everything. Let's
right.
face it.
Yeah.
And there's a show on, is it NBC, Lisa?
You know,
NBC?
I TiVo everything. I don't really pay attention to what station it's on.
Parenthood, Tuesday nights
NBC.
At 10. I believe it's NBC.
Yeah.
Phenomenal show. Peter Krause is one of the stars of it. He's one of my favorite actors.
I love him.
Six
yes.
Feet Under and from Sports Night. He's great. And they had a topic a couple weeks ago on the program that I don't believe we've ever spoken about on the Kevin and Bean Show.
This is a kid with Asperger's, right?
Yes.
They have a son with Asperger's. He and his wife have a son with Asperger's. Yes,
right.
Max. So I don't think we've ever talked about this on the show, but we're going to want to get your opinions at 1-800-520-1067 on faking orgasms, ladies. Do you do it? Why do you do it? And men, do you want your ladies to do it? Because that was the topic that came up on the show. Peter Krause's character finds out that his wife has been having a conversation with a friend, and the topic of their sex life had come up. And he is realizing that she told her friend that she fakes orgasms. He was not pleased with that news.
Yeah.
What exactly are you telling her? I mean, you're not saying that you're not enjoying it.
No. Why would I tell her that?
Dumb. You are, aren't you?
You've
been enjoying it? I mean, you've been satisfied?
Yes.
I'm relaxed.
Yeah, I'm enjoying it.
Uh-huh. You're satisfied?
Walk. Yes.
You sure?
Yes.
Wait a minute.
Feeling sexy.
What did you tell her?
What did I tell her when?
When?
What? Why are you looking at me like that? I'm starting to get sweaty. What?
Have you been faking it?
By the way, tough conversation to have. And
yeah.
You know that he's thinking, as he's asking, I want to know the answer to this question. At the exact same time, he's thinking, I don't want to know the answer to this question.
Please
right?
make it the right answer. Please make it the right answer.
Very awkward.
And by the way, guys, just so you know, girls tell all of your secrets. That happens.
Yeah,
there's no secrets with girls.
That is true.
There's just no such thing.
And I don't think we want to know that either. So he is slowly realizing that his wife is telling her friend that she fakes it. All right.
Well, that doesn't look good.
I did not.
Clearly.
That. I did not say that.
Clearly,
maybe
you have been. Okay. Why
honey,
would you do that?
Once in a while, I do. You know, I don't want you to. Think
I don't
that
want you to fake it. I want you to have.
I
you
don't
know,
want you to think that I don't appreciate the effort.
The effort? Well, like it's a science
you
project.
Do a good
I don't
job.
Need you to comfort me by faking it.
Honey, I feel good. Why don't you sit down and eat or drink? Drink.
There's no way that she can say I'm faking an orgasm and have him feel good about that. No matter how valid her reasons are, no matter how good or right it is that she's doing it, there's no way to explain that to the man, right?
Well, I think there's two parts here. One is faking it. Two is telling your friends that you're faking it. That makes it worse, doesn't it?
I suppose, but I mean, really, it's not that. It's that he's finding out for the first time that sometimes what he thinks is like, woo!
Right.
Isn't so much.
Well, the thing is, for guys, it's always, woo!
Exactly.
Always.
Right.
So, Lisa, yes. I don't want to break the code here, but what percentage of women are faking it?
Have you?
Absolutely.
In the last month?
No.
Year?
No.
Liar.
I used to do it all the time.
Really?
All the time.
What? Now, did you do it because you just wanted it to be over?
It was a combination of things. I did it, sadly, because I wanted the guy to like me and think that sex with us was great.
Oh, us?
With him and I.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Yes, Kevin. Sorry to tell
threesome.
You that. All those times I faked
just saying.
It. So some of it was insecurity on my part, and I didn't want to be a lot of work.
Okay.
Oh, do you know what I mean?
See. Sure.
Yeah.
So there was
yeah.
that. And sometimes it's just not going to happen.
Right, and you can't.
And
there's no way to say that nicely. It's
no,
just not.
Although now I've learned to say that nicely.
You do not.
Yeah,
Lisa's the nicest
no,
person.
Sometimes
in the world.
I go.
You know what?
What?
Not gonna happen. Get off.
You go. That's what I said. But you know what? You go.
But Lisa's grown up. She's matured, and I think she's at a point where she's not as afraid to say what she wants or what she thinks as she might have been
she's
before.
She's too nice
she
to say that.
Frankly,
you know
doesn't
what?
Really care what the guy thinks at this point.
And some of it was just really learning what does work. And so there was just a time when I just punted.
But I think part of the problem, Lisa,
a different conversation.
Is the physiology is so different between men and women that men are goal oriented when it
right.
comes to sex, and it's only successful if that happens. And sometimes it's hard to wrap your head around. It can be so different for a woman that it could still be enjoyable even if that doesn't happen.
Yes,
right?
And that it worked great yesterday and is just not going to work today. Even
right.
though everything seems exactly the same, sometimes that's just how it is, and not all of y'all handle that very well.
We are going to take your phone calls in a minute at 1-800-520-1067. So now Adam Braverman on the show Parenthood, now he's found out that his wife has been faking orgasms, and he is devastated. So he goes to his sister to get some confirmation as to this is really how it works. Now
what?
He's trying to have this conversation about orgasms with his sister,
no.
played by the always brilliant Lauren Graham, who really doesn't want to talk about it but is forced to.
Have you ever faked an orgasm?
What?
Just address the question, please.
I don't know that it's a question I want to answer.
You're my sister. Just answer the question, would you?
No, I haven't had to.
Cool.
Wait, why are you asking?
No reason.
Oh, no.
All right.
Unless...
I'm out of here.
No, wait. I'm just kidding. Of course
what?
I have. And if someone in your life has, that's okay, too.
But you have?
Yes, of course. Everybody
well,
has. I don't know. A couple why? Different times. A couple different reasons.
Well, can you name them? I mean, I just don't get it.
It's like... We don't want you to feel bad.
God, this is just horrible.
It's I mean, not horrible.
Are you all in on this?
It's not horrible. We're not all in on it. She shouldn't have told you, first of all. That breaks the code right there.
Well, how am I supposed to tell?
You can't tell, honey. It's fake.
All right. So 1-800-520-1067. Before we have to break, let's talk to Jackie on line 4. Jackie seems to have a very strong opinion on this topic, so let's get her on first.
Hey, Jackie.
Hello.
Hello. Hi there.
Hello.
Hi, Jackie.
What do you think?
I say absolutely not. No way. Never, never, never do you fake it.
Because?
Well, absolutely. Because if you fake it, then the guy thinks he's doing a great job and he's going to continue to do what he thinks is a great job, which obviously isn't doing it for you. So now you're just setting yourself up for some.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
So you're encouraging him to do it the same way. But isn't it possible that the same way on a different day under different circumstances would be good?
Well, I mean, if he's getting there and it's just not happening that day, then, you know, maybe you give him a little. But if he's just not hitting it ever,
well,
no.
Yeah, then
well,
you
yeah,
break
that's
up
different.
With him.
No. Yeah, exactly. Don't encourage us. Oh, baby, you're great. No, you suck. I got to go. No way.
All right, so let me ask you this, Jackie. So at some point you've been in long-term relationships with men, right?
Absolutely.
Okay, you never fake it. So does that ever become an issue where they say to you, hey, what's going on? You don't ever seem to enjoy it quite as much as I do.
No. He just knows, okay, sometimes she takes longer. And if I don't, you know, if I'm not feeling it, then it's, you know, either all about him. Or if he's trying really hard and I appreciate it, but it's not happening for me, then you just switch it up a little bit. And then I'll... Right. Flip the situation,
right,
if you will, and take care of him, and then he's still happy.
But
and
so
I'm
you,
happy.
So you do sort of fake it if you need to.
Well, it's not faking it. I mean, because I'm not getting it. I'm okay with just taking care of him, however that may be, and he knows that I didn't, and that's okay.
Mm. Okay. So you think your girlfriends, many of whom are faking orgasms, you think they're making a mistake by going that route?
Absolutely. And if I had to fake an orgasm, I don't think I would tell my friends, yeah, my sex really sucks. I got to fake it.
You would, first of all.
You know, I think it happens generally in two different situations. One, someone that you know you're not going to continue to.
All right. Kevin and Beecher here. Topic on the table is women who fake orgasms. I've long held, and I know Kevin's with me here, that women are no goddamn good.
I'm not with you at all on that. I think women make the world go round.
This is an instance where I can kind of understand why they do it. Of course, no woman with me would ever need to, but we are taking your calls at 1-800-520-1067. Why is everyone laughing?
Because, hey, let's face it, you've never had sex.
All right, where do you want to go? We've got so many great calls and limited time. Who do you want to start with?
Well, wow. I don't know,
right?
Yeah, there's too many.
Let's try Jason. Let's get the man's perspective on line one to kind of get us started. We heard from Jackie before the break. Jason, welcome to the Kevin Bean Show. What say you?
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good, thanks.
Yeah, no, I don't fake it. Don't fake it. Sex is supposed to be an enjoyable thing by both people. And, you know, if you're not getting
there.
Happening, it's not happening. I mean, you need to step up your game if you're not making her have an orgasm. You need to.
But aren't guys and girls different in that girls can enjoy it without having an orgasm?
To a point.
Well, I'm not saying always. I'm not saying always. I'm just saying.
The women that tell you thumbs up, Kevin, they're lying.
How dare you?
But Jason brings up a good point, and I think women need to really understand that, because even barring the extreme a-hole guy that just doesn't care, but most guys really are the most important thing with them in sexual activity is pleasing a woman.
Right.
And if they're getting A-plus grades for F exercises and F test taking,
yes,
then it continues to you know, encourage them to behave that way. And so I think it'd be better for women to let them know if they are performing at an F level so that they can work harder and study better to get an A on the test.
Could you choose a different letter other than F, because you're confusing me.
Sorry.
I keep thinking you mean something else.
I'm just saying every kid that
D
plays
level.
Every team in the league shouldn't get a trophy. That's what I'm saying.
All right. That's fine. But should they have, like, signs they can hold up, like, a 5 or a 6?
But every woman is different,
3.
And a guy has to learn what works for that particular woman.
All right, let's go to Nicole, who is calling. Nicole, hi.
Hello.
You are how old?
I will be 27 in 2 weeks.
And you've been faking orgasms since?
I was 17.
So always?
Your whole life, basically. Your whole sex life.
Pretty much.
Have you ever had an orgasm?
No, I mean, it's not that I haven't tried, and I've, you know, done the whole mental thing. I've tried being drunk. I've tried talking to the person. It just doesn't really work. And I'm not going to lie, sometimes, even if I start out in the mode, it's just not working, and I want the person to get their stuff together, get it over with, and get off me so I can go on with my day.
So it's basically a way of
so
limiting the amount of time that it happens.
I've never had an orgasm because I'm not, you know, it's just everybody sucks. Everybody sucks.
Okay, wait.
It's us. You've never had an orgasm, and it's everyone else. I see.
Can I ask Nicole one question?
Yes.
Do you, by yourself, have
That's
you?
That's what I was going to ask. Have you ever
oh
done
Oh, my God. Instantaneously, almost. And I've tried explaining that to a guy.
Well, I think you'd be better off alone, then, if you want my opinion.
How many
Nicole?
Different guys? A lot?
More than enough.
All right, then it's you. It's
well,
you.
No, I mean, you can go through a lot of guys. That doesn't make a difference. It's finding a guy that's willing to be patient and work with you, and it may take months.
Months? Who can have sex for months straight? You have jobs
Figuring
to go to and
works.
Sleeping.
Hey, Nicole.
I had a boyfriend for 3 years, and
he tried really hard, and we did things together, and I tried training him, but it's really hard to break training that someone else already gave him because he thinks he's doing it right. I think it's an ego thing. So
wow,
it's just,
Nicole's a bitch.
That's real talk right there, man.
Seriously, Nicole's an angry bitch. What's up? No wonder.
Well, she's angry because she has never had an orgasm with a guy.
I still enjoy sex. If I didn't, I wouldn't keep doing it.
It's oh, yeah. It sounds like you really enjoy it. I want to get it over with as quickly as possible so the guy can get off me and can get on with my day.
For some
that's
people.
Really bad.
All right, all right.
Nicole, do you bite their head off and eat it when you guys are done?
No, they don't. Whoa, whoa, really whoa. Enjoy it.
I mean like an insect. That's what
yeah, that's
like.
What he's talking about, yeah.
Okay, thank right, you very thank much you. For the call. Good luck to you, Nicole. Nicole would be better off alone.
Let's talk to Don. Hello, Don.
Hi.
Hi, Don.
So last night.
So, yeah, well, and pretty much every other night that I've been with my husband, mm-hmm. I love him dearly. He is a fantastic man, but we didn't have sex before we got married. That's probably our first mistake.
Don, I've okay. always... Now, people
is that a religious
wait,
thing? Is that a religious thing?
Yeah.
Because most of the time it is.
People
okay.
who wait
yes.
never talk about it because, you know, they're very private. And I've always wondered, does that work when you wait?
Not so much. And this is the thing. We waited, but yeah. he kind of had very limited experience. We like, you know, our late time Christians, you uh-huh. know what I mean?
Right.
Like, so
sure.
you had sex before.
I had had lots of sex. In fact, when we...
Oh, or some other word that we can say on the
that's
radio.
That's a whole right, different thing going
really
on there.
What I meant. So, yeah, I scared him. I scared him in a
big I
way,
scared him to death, that boy.
You got it. And he had only had like maybe three or four partners before me.
Yeah.
So his experience was really limited. And I just can't orgasm with him because God love him. He just doesn't know what he's doing and he doesn't take instruction well. Yeah.
He doesn't take instruction well. Mm.
No.
So would he be disappointed to find out that you're faking it?
He'd be devastated.
Can we call him?
I continue to smile and act like I enjoy it immensely.
But Don, that's
Don,
fine.
You're willing to do this for the rest of your life?
Yes, and mostly because he's really great in so many other ways.
Right. Gotcha.
Wow.
All right, Don. Thank you so much for the call. Look, if we can leave you with any words to make you feel better about your lives today, you should be more like Spencer and Heidi when it comes to orgasms, people.
Fact or fiction, Heidi, you have between 30 and 40 orgasms a day. That's like one an hour.
I think it was like 15 to 20, something around there. But yes, I have. And I do every time.
Good luck with that.
Wow.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Sure.
Right now, though, we have to talk about Kevin's new girlfriend, Kesha. Who I think Mike summarized it best for us when we've been talking about Kesha is that you either have to be super talented or super hot. You can't be neither and be as big and as famous as she is, right?
It's not just that. She also acts super sexy, like everyone in the world's dream would be to have sex with her.
Right.
And that just isn't the case because she's not hot. And she has a wiener, but we'll talk about that later. So I don't know why I hate Kesha so much. You know, we all have that one thing that drives us crazy. Cartoon yeah. hate, we call it. I just can't get my head around the fact that she's a star. Her music blows. The baby talk, I think, is what kills me. That's right. What, for me.
That's pretty annoying. Yeah.
A girl that baby talks to her pet, to her boyfriend, to her husband.
Really, that's
to,
a
and,
big turn off oh, to you.
Oh, it just drives me crazy. So Kesha, of course, had TikTok. That was her first song.
I leave, brush my teeth with a bottle of Jack. Cause when I leave for the night, I ain't coming back.
So they, you know, they auto-tune her talking
mm-hmm.
right there. And she brushes her teeth with Jack because she's going to go out for all night.
She's tough.
Well, she's
yeah.
so edgy.
She's edgy and she likes to party a lot. And the first guy she kisses is going to go, oh, my God, your breath smells terrible. Go back and brush right. But anyway, so then she goes on.
I'm talking pedicure on our toes, trying on all our clothes, boys blowing up our phones.
Look, I'm no lyricist.
But toes, neither is she.
But toes and clothes, rhymes, phones, kind of has an O sound in it.
Yeah.
That's not a rhyme. That's less of a rhyme than everything else. She also talks about herself like she's a dude, and maybe that's what bugs me.
I'm talking about everybody getting crunk. Boys try to touch my junk.
Girls don't call it their junk, do they?
No.
You know,
not that I've
ever heard of.
We really don't.
Boys call it their junk. That's a boy term.
Yeah.
Girls never use that term.
And then she says,
the body don't start till I walk in.
She does that kind of like baby talk all the time, and they have to auto-tune it, even when she's talking. Stop it. That doesn't make you more interesting. It doesn't make you more interesting that you spell your name with a dollar sign instead of an S. K-E dollar sign H-A. Doesn't make it more interesting. Neither does it make it more interesting to spell TikTok T-I-K-T-O-K. F you.
I don't know how much you've listened to the top 40 stations in town, but half the songs have that autotune on it now.
Oh, I know.
I'm sure that Kesha does it because she can't sing. Right.
I don't mind the auto-tune in all songs.
Yeah.
I mean, I think there are a lot of people who use it well, but for her, it just so drives me crazy. So her current hit now is called Blah, Blah, Blah. And by the way, lazy, she spelled it B-L-A-H 3 times. Lazy, what happened to T-I-K-T-O-K? What happened to your wild misspelling ways? You can't come up with something for that? What's wrong with you? And it starts like this. Okay, any song that starts like that, I'm out. No. And then she says,
that's how talking that blah, blah.
She does that baby. It's
pretty annoying. That's
how talking that blah, blah.
Now she goes into the assumptive everybody wants to have sex with. Think you'll be getting this?
Nah.
She points to her body. Nah. Not you, loser, because you're not hot enough, because I am what everybody wants. And then she does my favorite rhyme of all time. Nah, nah, nah. And then she rhymes it with. Not in the back of my car.
And it's because so funny.
Car doesn't rhyme with na na na, so she leaves the R doesn't. Off, and then she leaves the C off. Ka ah ah.
It's so funny because she already is so auto-tuned because she can't sing. And it almost seems to me when I hear that she's embarrassed by the rhyme because she buries it. Right. You can barely make out what she's saying because she's like, seriously, if this flies, I'm going to be amazed.
No. It seems like there's a lot of words that would rhyme with that. But car is not one of them.
No. Not even close.
And then she says,
that's how talking that.
Yeah. And then she goes,
that's how talking that.
Yeah. She does that again and again and again.
Stop it. Please stop it.
And then she says,
I don't care where you live at. Just turn around, boy. Let me hit that.
Now, here's the part that I don't understand, because I thought I understood how sex worked. If you're standing in front of a guy.
Right.
You're a girl. Let's say you're a girl. You're standing in front of a guy.
Face to face.
Right. And you tell him to turn around.
Bad things are going to happen to him.
Right. But how? That's my question. What are you as a girl going to do to a guy who's got his back to you that would involve hitting that?
I would guess.
You have a wiener. Kesha is a guy. That's what I'm telling you. She has a wiener. Who's with me?
I am.
I mean, it's certainly it's more plausible than doing it without one. That's for sure.
What sense does that make? Turn around, let me hit that. Does that make sense?
No. Well, nothing about her songs makes sense.
But I'm saying no one went through and said, hey, you're not lying about the turnaround. Can't have sex that way.
Right, but I mean, she obviously, when she was doing the stupid TikTok song and she talked about the guys with the swagger, they got to look like Mick Jagger, nobody came up to her apparently and said, you're aware that the singer for the Rolling Stones is 75 years old, right? I mean, they just let it fly. There's no quality control in these sessions.
That's how talking that.
Yeah, she does that.
I don't care where you live at. Just turn around, boy. Let me hit that. Don't be a little bitch with your chit-chat. Just show me where
So she says, don't be a little bitch with your chit-chat. Just show me where your D-word is at.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
She knows she's got one. It's the same place as all guys.
That's your theory?
Right in between your legs. Even if she doesn't have
Kesha's
one.
She's caring.
Even if she doesn't have even if she's not caring, even if she's not packing. In general, the male penis is in the same place on everybody.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
And you don't find it in the middle of your back or on your forearm.
Genitals are pretty universal. Right. It's pretty much we're set up a certain way.
It's
right.
Not on your ankle. But she knows because she has one. I don't know. Listen, I have to kill someone. I don't know who.
Wow.
I don't know. What am I supposed to do? I need anger management.
You do. I think you do.
I need some type of anger management.
Does anyone have a fork I can stick into my own eye?
Exactly. That would work as well. 106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q, and it is 8 minutes after 7 o'clock.
And?
And we're going to be broadcasting live Friday morning for Coachella from the grounds. We're going to be out there at the house.
Mm-hmm.
We have actually we've gotten a house this year for Coachella. And I can tell you right now, after Friday morning, when we're done with our show, you will not want to be in that house.
That's a good point.
And yet it'll be open all weekend for staff, and we're going to be broadcasting from out there and everything else. But we have Vampire Weekend and Temper Trap playing live and Perry Farrell and a bunch of stuff. So that's Friday morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 9 minutes after 7.
Kevin Smith in minutes right here. Tracy Morgan coming up. Right now I'm very excited. You know, I love the TV, and I especially love the Weather Channel. In fact, I'm watching Wake Up with Al right now. I've got that on here in the studio. Okay.
Bean has Asperger's, and he loves several things that most people just take for granted. Numbers.
Yes.
Phone number. Ultimate importance to Bean. Ultimate.
Okay,
maps. But he loves maps.
He does love maps.
And we've determined that he loves the Weather Channel, and we think it's because he loves maps so much.
Where else are you going to find more maps and more numbers than on the Weather Channel?
That's
perfect for me. But here's the thing. I know you've resisted the attraction of the Weather Channel for many years, Kevin, but millions of people across the country love the Weather Channel and are very excited about the new lineup of shows.
Nope.
I mean, Wake Up with Al, which I watch every morning, happens to be on right now. But, I mean, Tornado Chasers is one of the new shows.
Yeah.
They've got the new Storm Stories.
No.
I mean, I understand that producer Alex has lined up a gentleman for us to talk to. This is William Coxter. Mr. Coxter, you are what with the Weather Channel?
I'm just a spokesperson for PR. I really want to thank you guys for having me on. We haven't had a chance to do a lot of media to promote our upcoming fall schedule.
Well, no one cares.
Kevin, how dare you?
Basically the reason.
Mr. Coxter, tell Kevin, the Weather Channel is very popular, right?
We're very popular. We're one of the more up-and-coming channels in all of basic cable, and we feel like we're really on the cutting edge with a lot of our upcoming programming.
And
we're going in a different direction than just basically giving you all the different weather around the country.
What is the age of the average viewer of the Weather Channel?
You know, I'm not sure. I haven't really narrowed down our demographic, but it's somewhere between 35 and 104.
I love America's Worst Weather. That's my favorite show, where they have the video of just the biggest storms you've ever seen in your life, and viewers send in their own tape of, like, you know, picnic tables blowing over their backyard and stuff. That's fascinating.
Sure.
Stuff.
It's really exciting.
That's not exciting.
Windy wind and rainy rain, and it's really quite exciting when you see some of the things that Mother Nature can do to us.
All right.
Exactly.
So,
exactly.
So you put out a press release that you have a new schedule that you're looking forward to. Bean needs to find out what's on that schedule.
Well, we're very excited about our new 10-part series, Rain, The Happy Tears of God.
Okay. That's a 10-part series, isn't it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, very exciting. There's all different types of rain. It's going to be great.
There's light rain and heavy rain?
Sure.
Okay,
some
that's
rain
two.
Goes sideways.
Okay, three.
Some rain's big. Some rain's small.
Four,
you never
five.
Know what you're going to get.
You have 10 specials.
Sure.
All right.
We found that cooking shows are awfully popular right now, so we have our own cooking show on the Weather Channel. It's going to be debuting called Cooking with Sunlight.
Okay.
And that would be what? How would you cook with
culinary fun? The earth is your kitchen. Mother Nature is your gourmet.
I may tune in to see that, Mr.
Coxter. How about our countdown show, The 10 Breeziest Days of the 90s?
I'm sorry.
Breeziest?
Not just, but you're not going for wind here. You're just going for breeze.
Just breeze.
10 breeziest of the 90s.
So it would be like August 9th, 1994. This man stepped outside his office and realized, hey, it's kind of breezy today.
Pretty
we tell stories like that.
Pretty breezy.
Wow.
We also have our own sitcom we'll be debuting.
Oh, really?
Oh, wow.
An attempted comedy?
We're really excited about this. We've got a lot of great writers on it. It's called Storm Chaser, starring Tom Arnold and Bronson Pinchot.
And they would be doing what you do for real on the Weather Channel,
that's
which
right.
is actually following heavy weather.
That's
okay.
right. They're a ragtag group of dudes in one van going from town to town looking for that tornado.
Are they the good ones in the white vans, or are they the bad ones in the black vans?
Oh, they're the good guys.
Okay.
Come on now.
How'd you get Bronson Pinchot? That's quite a pull.
I know. We're excited. How about our new drama starring Meredith Baxter Burney called My Husband the Weatherman? She was a loving housewife. He was a renegade weatherman. What happens when Mother Nature is the mistress?
Oh, wow.
I want to see that show
you
so badly.
You can't put renegade together with weatherman.
Sure you can.
No.
He's a bad boy.
Yeah.
He should be at home with his wife and kids, but no.
He's looking at maps.
I found that rehabilitation-based shows are very popular, thanks in part to your colleague, Dr. Drew Pinsky.
Okay, sure.
So we have our own debuting on the Weather Channel called Might As Well Face It, You're Addicted to Clouds.
Is anyone addicted to clouds?
Oh, you'd be surprised. Big problem in the tri-state area. Kids huffing clouds. Just huffing clouds
really?
All day long.
You can huff
people
them?
Are huffing them, should really? Should be in school, should be maybe joining the Boy Scouts, but they're stuck at home huffing the clouds.
Can you do a one-off special on how to huff clouds? Because I'm not sure how I would
well,
do
we
that.
Well, we do have our special fun with fog, which is kind of similar.
Okay. Oh, fun with fog. I can't wait.
As you can see, we're very, very excited about our fall schedule. Wait till you guys see the horizon smiling, the rainbows of Hawaii.
All right. Well, Mr. Coxter, I think even Kevin is sold now on the new lineup.
Thanks a lot, guys.
You're doing good work.
You are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show on a Friday. Beautiful actress Alice Eve on the program with us next hour from She's Out of My League. Also, Ralph will be here with the Movie Beat and The Week in Rage, too. How about April Foolishness? Sold out Saturday, April 3rd at the Gibson Amphitheater. Jimmy Kimmel will be there. Jay Moore, Joe Rogan, Kevin Smith, Aziz Ansari, Sarah Silverman, Jeffrey Ross, Adam Carolla, Jimmy Kimmel Live's house band Cleto and the Cletones, and the man in our studio, Bill Burr, who joins us right now on The Kevin and Bean Show.
All right. Ralph, explain to us how we came to see Bill.
I did the live Adam Carolla podcast at, I forget what comedy place we were doing it at, but also in the lineup was Bill. So we got a chance to chat backstage a little bit, and then I saw him go up with Adam and talk, and I said, God damn it, this is one of the funniest guys I've ever met. So I said he would probably be good for April Foolishness. So I suggested to you guys, you watch some of his clips on YouTube and whatnot. You can find him anywhere.
Did your jackets fall in love? Was that part of the attraction?
We are part of the leather jacket team, yes.
You saw that. We didn't want to miss anything. I literally took this off when I came in. I was like, good Lord, we look like backup dancers in The Godfather.
We do look like a gay couple.
Did they have backup dancers in The Godfather?
I'm just saying.
The musical.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it takes a certain something to pull that jacket off.
Yeah, I don't think you guys have enough show on that April Foolishness.
You don't think
what
so?
What are you going to have me do, just introduce people?
Essentially, yes.
There's somebody else with more credits than me. Coming to the stage.
Well, that's one of the reasons we wanted to have you, because we have a lot of comedians who are well known, but there's also some great comics out there who maybe aren't as well known, and we like to introduce them to people when we get a chance.
I tell you though, I went to a comedy club this past weekend, and it was just a local comedy club, and people were kind of trying out their stuff, and it helped me realize how unbelievably talented guys like you and guys that do it
to pull it off.
Because it.
The road comics, because they're out there doing it.
And it was brutal, and crowds weren't laughing, and they're trying their best, and you can tell they're trying. I just felt so bad for them up on stage. But
yeah, brutal's a good word.
Wow.
That's exactly how it
is. Is it like that when everyone begins?
Oh, that's the beginning is horrific.
It is.
Because there's no way to learn how to do it. It's like the old school, how they used to teach kids how to swim. They just throw them in the middle of a pond. That's kind of how you learn how to do stand-up. Some of the stuff I thought was actually going to be funny and I could get away with it. Like, I used to work in a dental office before I got into that stuff. And they had this basically like a plastic welder's mask that I had to wear right. when we were drilling somebody's teeth because all the stuff that flies out.
Right,
so I was
good.
Like, I know, I'm gonna wear that on stage. That's going to be hilarious. Which would have been hilarious if I wrote a joke about it, but I didn't. I thought I was just going to put it on.
Just don't mention it.
Yeah, and everything else was going to take care of itself. So I did 5 minutes and it went great. And I had my little duffel bag, like a broke carrot top. I got my one little prop and I go, my job's so bad, I got to wear this. And then I put it on and everybody's looking at me like, yeah. And then what happens? And I was just like, good night, everybody. You guys are awesome.
Oh, no.
That was brutal.
If you want to see something funny, Bill, there's a video online of Bill dressing down a crowd in my hometown of Philadelphia, Pennsylvania.
Oh, you don't want to take on crowds in Philly, do you?
Which is one of the most brutal moments I've ever seen between a comedian and a hostile audience, where he just destroys this entire room full of people.
Are you from there?
No.
No.
No, but think of it.
How do you have the stones to go into Philly?
There was no options. It's one of those deals, you know? It's not like I was out of this situation and I inserted myself in it like a hero.
Right.
I was overwhelmed by it.
Okay.
But those guys are such maniacs out there in Philly that they actually appreciate it more if you tell them to go, you know what?
If you fight back.
Rather than actually doing your material. They don't want to hear, you know?
They just want to fight
with
you.
What's up with Congress? They don't want to hear that. They don't want any political stuff. They just want you to trash them and their mothers.
Spectacular.
Turned out, that was like feel-good music to him. So they're just coming around and like, I like this guy.
It is weird to hear them turn and start to cheer the more he insults them.
Yeah,
that's right. We are. My mothers aren't all those.
That's what my dad used to say. I like this guy. So, it's funny how crazy they are out there. Like, I went back there to perform like 8 months later, and I was all nervous, like,
you know, am I going to go to the club and they're going to boo me
because
again?
Because it became kind of a big deal locally about that whole event.
Yeah, and like YouTube and that thing. And I came back and they're such psychos, they like barely remembered it. They were like, oh yeah, that's right. We did do that. Yeah, it's just, we've done it to 50 other entertainers. So yeah, it kind of all blends in after a while.
Oh my
so
God.
How you been?
I don't know why they're such dicks in Philadelphia.
Hey,
I
hey,
really.
Hey,
I, no, I'm serious.
They are. It's just they are.
Oh, stop.
That's how they're bred.
You're just weak.
It is how they're bred, but now they're getting all these props for it where everybody, if you bring up Philly, like people in like New Mexico will be like, yeah, they booed Santa Claus. It's like a soundbite now. And they can't even confirm if that even happened or threw snowballs at him.
Snowballed at Santa Claus.
Is that what it was, Ralph?
Yeah, they threw snowballs at Santa Claus.
Santa Claus.
But he was a bad Santa, and he was. It's a long story. He was pulled out of the crowd. The guy who was supposed to be Santa at an Eagles game didn't show. And there was a drunk guy in a Santa costume in the stands. And they asked him, they pulled him out of the crowd and asked him to stand in. And he was loaded and sloppy and looked like hell. So
he should have fit right in.
So they threw snowballs at him because he was a bad Santa.
They actually, no, it was probably because he was coming with positive stuff. Ho, 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 Merry Christmas.
Boo.
They started yelling about how little they were going to get for Christmas because their dads were alcoholics. They would have been like, this guy's awesome.
Bill Burr is in the studio on the Kevin and Bean Show. He is on the bill for April Foolishness. As Ralph mentioned a few minutes ago, if you have tickets to that show, you are lucky. If you don't, we are going to be giving some away closer to the event, not just yet. And by the way, Bill, you do the big time clubs, Punchline Atlanta, Caroline's New York. You're heading over to Europe too, aren't you? Going to be are you going to Ireland for St. Patrick's Day? Is that where you're going?
Oh, I think I'll just miss it, but I don't think that's such a big deal to them. I think it's always like St. Patrick's Day over there.
It is a big deal.
Is it a big deal?
I've been there for St. Patrick's Day. Yeah, and it's two parts. One is all the families, every human being in Ireland comes out for the daytime parade, which is
awesome.
Super G-rated.
Right.
And then the sun goes down.
Then there's a big family meal, usually.
Right.
And then it's just drunken, just liver-murdering drinking.
Yes. And then you hide the kids, and everybody just walks from bar to bar, and everybody's your friend. It's the best place in the world.
Well, this is a funny thing. I haven't drank since New Year's Day.
On purpose?
Yeah, I passed out at the Rose Bowl. I'm not going to lie to you. I don't work New Year's anymore. This is the ironic part. I don't work New Year's anymore because I hate being in the middle of nowhere. And after the show, all the drunks come up to you and they're slapping you on the back and inadvertently spitting in your face.
Nice.
So I'm going to take the day off, you know, and I'm going to go to the Rose Bowl every year. And then I literally became what I was trying to avoid. Dude, I was raging like I was pledging a frat. I was like, I'll stay away from the whiskey. I'll be fine. I just started drinking Budweiser's. It was like I was 17 again.
Right.
And I was drinking them like Homer Simpson. I think I had like 15, and I headed in there. I only remember was being annoyed that the game started so quickly. I was like, dude, this should have started at 5, right? And I got in there, and I'm not even passed out, just nodded off like the old man that I am.
Oh,
just
man.
That heavy head thing
that
swinging
hurts.
Around. And when I basically passed out for 8 minutes of the second quarter, which is like 38 real minutes.
Congratulations.
That's right. Yeah,
it's a little nap.
Football time.
Yeah. You just need a little nap.
Yeah, and you know, when you wake up from passing out, it's usually, you know, you're on a friend's couch, you know,
sure.
Corner booth at like a Denny's or something, right? I like wake up, there's like 100,000 people going insane, and nobody's looking at me, but I can feel that they had all been looking at me.
Sure.
I was just like, oh, man, I'm that guy.
You're the picture on every cell phone there.
Yeah,
but at least the Rose Bowl is a comfy place. They've got nice seating,
do,
so you can really relax.
Oh, they did, yeah.
Super comfortable hard bench.
Yeah, right, they built during the Three Stooges era when everybody weighed like $1.50.
We need to pause it there briefly. Comedian Bill Burr is here. Please go to BillBurr.com for all the latest with what's going on with him, and we'll return right after this with more on the Kevin and Bean.
There it is. There it is.
Yes.
Puddle of mud.
There
he demanded it.
Is.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ at 25 minutes after 7 o'clock.
Comedian Bill Burr is in the studio with us on the Kevin and Bean Show. He is on the bill for April Foolishness, April 3rd. This is why Bill's awesome, by the way. He doesn't have a gig to promote of his own. He's basically just coming in to rub it in to all the people who couldn't get tickets to see him on April Foolishness. So we appreciate that very much. It's a great lineup with great proceeds going to Boarding for Breast Cancer and Camp Laurel. Last year we raised hundreds of thousands of dollars, and thanks to you and your ticket support, we will do the same this year. So Bill, thanks again for being on that bill, man. We're super psyched to have you there.
You're aware that's a charity thing, right?
Yes, I am.
It's not going to be a lot.
No, and I always,
a lot of scratch.
No money.
Okay.
And I also, you always have to make sure, too, what the charity is for, so you stay away from that subject.
Right, exactly.
Rather than learning how you usually learn with the awkward silence, and you're like, oh, this is a benefit for rescue dogs.
Okay. That's a great point, because I could see a bunch of chicks out there who lost boobs to cancer, and then you're going on doing junk about it. I could see that would be awkward, yeah.
Boarding for breast cancer is one of them, so you might want to stay away from that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, whatever. But dogs are
I've always been a breast guy, you know.
Speaking of dogs,
yes.
We're huge dog fans on this show. I have six of them, by the way. That's how crazy.
Awesome.
It's ridiculous. It's stupid. Don't ever do that. It's a mistake. But how about you? You got some at home, too?
Yeah, no. I went out and I got a free dog down at the pound.
Nice.
Which is
very
how
good.
I say it, as opposed to these people always say they rescue dogs, which is annoying to me.
I rescued her. She's a rescue.
Really? Did you pull it out of a burning building? Did you jump in a river with your wingtips still on, you know, with no concern? Or did you just go down to the pound and get a free dog? That's what you did.
Yeah,
that's
well.
What I did. I didn't have to sneak past the guard. They're just giving them away. They don't even do a background check. You want them? Yeah, there you go. Take it home. So, no, actually, I wanted a brand new dog. That was my thing. My girlfriend wanted a rescue one. I wanted a brand new 2010 bulldog. That's what I wanted.
And, did they come in that model yet when you were looking?
Yeah. Okay. They're not recalled or anything.
No? Okay, good.
It's a good year for them. That was my thing. I was like, I don't want like some, you know, 1995, half a Labrador, part of its ear chewed off, you know. I got to figure out his backstory, you know. But that was my initial thing. But
psychological damage.
Yeah, it's been a great thing. But she ended up getting the dog when I was on the road, and she got a pit bull.
Really?
So we went the real deal. All these starlets who rescue dogs, they get those little chihuahuas, which is very safe because when they snap because you do something
hurt.
That their previous owner did right before it beat them, you know. That you can just flick them off the coffee table. I got the real deal. Mine was
you did.
Was banded. It was down by the L.A. River.
Wow.
Its front paws was still taped up. It was like shadow boxing when we met it.
Oh, wow.
Did your girlfriend call you on the road and go, hey,
We were Skyping, and she goes, I got a dog, and I spun it up, and she spins it around. I go, I'm like, is that a pit bull? She goes, it's a mix. I'm like, mixed with what? Another pit bull? Look at that thing. Look at that P90X, that shredded body. You guys remember Ivan Putski, that wrestler? That's what he looked like.
I don't remember
him,
no.
What made her get a pit bull?
Because it was beautiful, and she fell in. It was a blue nose. It's got that gray. It's a stunning, stunning dog.
Hey, I just want to jump. Shredded. I want to jump in here because there are people who are going to email us and go, "Hey, I hope you guys weren't suggesting that pit bulls aren't good pets because I know a lot of them and they are phenomenal dogs.
No, no, no,
I mean, they're great, smart, affectionate dogs.
Absolutely,
these
are my initial fears.
Right,
my initial fears.
Of
now
course.
I'm going to tell you, dude. It took me 4 days. To warm up to the dog. In 4 days, I went from, we got to return this dog to, oh my God, this thing's going to die someday. How am I emotionally going to be able to deal with this? No, it's ridiculous. And like, the funny thing is they're like lap dogs. And all they want to do is, like, cuddle with you.
They don't know they're as big as they are?
They don't. They don't realize that their head is made out of titanium.
Right.
That's the most dangerous thing about a pit bull is when you come home and they get excited. You almost have to put them in a sleeper hold because they start swinging that head around. I don't know about you, but I've had a couple of standing eight counts. Like, not even that. Laying on the back. All I need was, like, Mills Lane standing over me like, seven! So I make sure I kind of let her do her little I'm excited you're
get
home
excited.
Dance.
And then rear naked chokehold.
Yeah, rear naked chokehold. That's right.
All right.
No, but she's
like
the best.
Every date I've ever been on right there.
Oh, yeah, there you go.
Bill Burr is here. April Foolishness is April 3rd. We've got time for one more with Mr. Burr, and we'll do that when we return right after this on The Kevin and Bean Show. Until we close our
eyes for good. That's over. 106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q, and it is 7:37.
Psycho Mike, make a note. We got to get some sort of a timer, some sort of a clock that counts down the seconds so that we can tell when the songs are going to
be. We have it. We were just talking hockey, and I get sidetracked. Sorry.
Exactly. Talking hockey off air with our friend Bill Burr, very, very funny and famous comedian who's on the bill on Saturday, April 3rd, April Foolishness. I'm so glad Bill is here because Ralph was telling me that you guys were chatting before you came in here, Bill, and you and I are in a similar spot because I am a proud and satisfied Toyota Prius owner. I understand you are as well, and it's kind of hard to... Now every time I get in the car, I got to start looking for, you know, where I'm going to jump out.
I know.
When it gets out of control, I got to make sure. I don't know if I should have a parachute on my back or what should I be doing
Well,
now?
The good thing is it's such a small car. I don't think, you know, you could probably stop it like Fred Flintstone. But
just open the door and put your foot down?
Yeah, I mean, this is what happened. I don't know how it worked with you, Bean, but they called me in December and they said something about the floor mat. And the floor mat was getting bunched up and it was holding down the accelerator. So they go, so just take that out. And I go, well, then it's fixed then, so I don't have to come in, right? And they were like, you still might want to bring it in. So I'm going, obviously.
Something else there.
Yeah, there's something going on under the hood. But, yeah, I mean, I wasn't really paying attention until that one where you have to call the cops, you know, to drive slow in front of you and slow that guy down. That's
for folks who didn't see the story, this is a guy in San Diego who was on Interstate 8 down there, and he very calmly called 911 when his car was going about 85 miles an hour, ended up going to 95, and he said, look, I can't stop my car. What do I do? And Bill's right. They sent the highway patrol out there to get in front of him. They ended up not having to slow it down this way, but the plan was they were going to let him bump into the highway patrol car and then slow it down that way. But the cop instead used his loudspeaker out the window and told the guy to pull up the emergency brake and pull up the brake and then, you know, hold the power button in to slow the thing down. So eventually
everybody's
safe.
Why don't people ever think to shut the car off?
Yeah, but there's an on-off button, right?
Dude, you know what it is?
Yeah,
it's like a boombox. Okay. You turn it on the same way.
Why do you turn it off?
Yeah, no, people panic. I can't stop. And then their brain just becomes white noise of, ah! And they can't think.
Wouldn't you like to be the cop who said, yeah, you're the one that has to go get bumped?
Yeah, just drive 97 in front of him. He's going about 94. Just go like 97.
And then touch your brakes.
Oh, I guess 93.
I'm bad
at math, sorry.
So I know that it has been extremely infrequent that people have had this problem with the acceleration stick. There's millions of cars on the road. It's only happened in a handful of cases, but you always wonder if it's going to be me and what if it is. You know, that's why I honestly don't know what to do. Bill, are you sticking with your Prius?
Well, yeah, you know, something too is I'm also going to go back to drinking and driving because now I have a loophole. I can just be hammered, hang on, and say, accelerator! Accelerator got stuck! Thank God you showed up! I'm joking, of course, people.
Yeah, no, don't drink and drive. That's the point.
That is a bad thing. Right. That's how bad we are right now, so overly sensitive that you actually have to then restate the obvious. Heroin is bad, people. Do not do it.
If you take anything away from today's show, that's it.
Yeah, it is great for weight loss, though.
Do you ever have, are there ever actually people who complain about the stuff that you do in your act, not understanding that it's just comedy and that's part of why it's what it is because it's inappropriate?
I have a lot of people who walk out halfway through the bit now and then send me angry emails, and it's like, well, you should have listened to the beginning of it. And it's like, well, it sounds like when I was doing the rescuing the dog thing, it sounds like I'm going to be trashing and saying don't do it, then you bring it around. See, the whole thing with the joke is they can't know where you're going.
Right.
Because if they know where you're going, they're already there. And
it's
then you
not
come
funny.
Sweating across the finish line as they're like, yeah, what was that joke from 1938? See what I did there, folks? So
they get offended because they listened to half of it.
Yeah, I had that happen. I did one making fun of homophobia. How guys use homophobia to get you to do dumb stuff. You know what I mean? Like if it's raining out and you have an umbrella. You got an umbrella? What are you, you know?
Right.
The F word there. So I was bringing around how stupid that is to live your life that way, but I got halfway through it and I was up in Seattle and these guys, you know, you're homophobe! And then they storm out. And then I began.
What does that do to your show exactly? I mean, is that good?
Well, you know what's funny is I didn't hear what they said. Oh. I used to play drums a lot, and I got a little tinnitus. So if it's a big theater, which it was up there, like I couldn't hear. I just heard, "Rah!" I thought they were drunk. So I continued on, and people in Seattle are so polite that nobody repeated what the guy said. And
that's
then,
nice.
Then I just started. They told me afterwards, but then I just started getting these random emails from people in Seattle. Like these gay guys were like, "Yeah, I was listening to your podcast, and I really was thinking about making out with you, like trying to like freak me out." It was hilarious.
Yes.
So that was either the
Take
guys.
Them up on that?
From the well, I haven't been back yet.
No.
You know what I mean? I'm a free spirit.
Okay.
So I get stuff like that a lot.
How did David Letterman become such a big fan of yours?
He's funny.
Eddie Brill. Eddie Brill ended up putting me on. I wasn't aware that he was. I mean, they definitely put me on a lot, but I don't know. Eddie Brill hooked me up, and I went on, and thank God it went well. And then.
And the rest is history.
Yeah, they keep asking me back. I might be doing it again in May. I just got to scrape together 5 clean minutes.
Does he ever talk to you on the show? The word on him is always that it's pretty frosty, even for the guests on that show. There's not a lot of warm and fuzzy. He's not exactly
shaking your hand. Awesome. No, he's awesome. It's like it's old school. You know, like all these celebrities nowadays, they're showing like their houses and like talking about. You just know too much about them that it's they've become like an annoying neighbor.
Right.
He still has that icon thing. He comes over and, you know, after you do it, just be like, Bill Burr. He just goes, nice job. And you go, thanks a lot. And then he goes back to his desk.
And that's it.
And then that's it. It doesn't become like.
That's the interaction.
Yeah. And it works. For me, it works. It's the Ed Sullivan Theater. The Beatles were there. Right. I shouldn't be shooting the breeze with the host. I should be in awe of the whole thing. Which
you should
I
know your place.
Yeah, which I always am when I go there. All it's right. It's ice cold, like the air conditioner. It's awesome. One of the few great things left, I think, in this business. Other than doing your wonderful morning show.
Yeah, of course.
You like that? Brought it right around.
Nicely done.
Very nice.
It was a weak effort, but it was a good try.
Bill, I'm so happy that we're going to see in, 2-3 weeks, something like that, April 3rd at the Gibson Amphitheater. I think you're going to have a great time. Last year was so much fun, and people really showed up ready to have a good time. And, of course, it's such a phenomenal lineup again this year. I think you're going to have a great audience when you get out there on stage. But thank you very much in advance.
Well, thank you for having me.
To do this. We're so happy to have you, and happy to have you on the show. Hope you'll come back. BillBird.com if you want to check out what's going on with Bill. Have a great trip to Europe, man, and we'll see you on the 3rd.
All right, guys.
This is the Kevin and Bean Show on a Friday, a very sad Friday all across America, because MTV's Jersey Shore had its season finale last night. I didn't see it, but LaQuisha, one of our favorite Kevin and Bean listeners, is on the line. She has been keeping us up to date with Jersey Shore all season long. LaQuisha, you hanging in there all right today, darling?
You didn't see it.
I'm
you
sorry.
You didn't watch the finale last night?
I think he probably was happy you watched it.
What's wrong with you, Bean?
Did I miss something great?
What were you doing that was so important you could not watch the finale and, by the way, the reunion show that followed?
A reunion show for people who hadn't seen each other in 30 minutes? What's the point of that?
Well, you know, it was last summer when they all did this.
Oh, I see.
And then they did the reunion show recently?
Yeah, right after last night's finale.
Yeah, all right.
Okay.
Very exciting.
I'll bet it was.
Well, at the end of the last week's episode, you may remember that Ronnie was taken to jail because he sucker punched that guy and knocked him out.
That's right, yeah.
That's right.
So he's still in jail when we pick up this week's episode. And Sammy, his girlfriend, and Snooki are trying to figure out what to do and who to call to try to get him bailed out.
What number should we call? I don't understand.
I don't know what to do. I've never been in this situation before.
Should I call 911?
Don't call 911. I think that's an emergency.
Yeah, I think that may be for emergencies, but I don't know.
That's one of the funniest things I've ever heard.
At this rate, Ronnie may never get out of jail if they can't figure out how to get him.
They called 911.
Well, Ronnie gets bailed out, and the next morning, he feels pretty bad about his time inside the Seaside Heights jail. And he is very retrospective about his whole life.
I feel like a lowlife for going to jail, and I don't belong there. I was in there, and that's definitely not a scene where I want to be ever again. It's not the kind of person I am.
Well, it is actually it's the kind of person you are, because you punched a guy and knocked him unconscious in the street.
And then said, act cool. Everybody act cool.
Right. And then tried to run.
Right.
So that you belong in jail. Don't get that mistake made.
Right.
And you are a lowlife. Okay. They got that said.
All right.
Now, JWoww, who is the girl with the giant fake boobs, who constantly touching and playing with them.
Right, adjusting, uh-huh.
Pushing them up and straightening them out. She got some crooked boobs or something, because she's always kind of straightening them out.
She's got a lot of work to do that way.
And she's got a boyfriend back at home, so she doesn't fool around at the shore.
Ah.
Much. Wink, wink.
Much.
And she's working on the T-shirt store on the boardwalk where they work, and she sees all these weird, freaky, muscly guys walking down the boardwalk. It just looked disgusting. As you can hear, she is disgusted.
I see a bunch of, like, gorilla juice heads, tall, completely jacked, steroid, like, multiple growth hormone. That's, like, the type that I'm attracted to.
What?
Of course it is.
What? You just described some sort of laboratory accident freak show.
Yeah.
Shut up, JWoww.
That's her taste.
So she got to grab Snooki immediately and say, oh, we got to go out there on the beach because all the juice heads are out there today. And so for more clarification on what a juice head is, here's Snooki.
A juice head is a hot Italian tan guy, typically muscly, and loves working out, you know, looking buff and brawly.
Buff and brawly.
Yeah.
I think a juice head is a dumb white girl. If you squeeze her head, juice would come running out of her ears. Because she ain't got no brain.
By the way, I like that tan was so early in her discussion. That
and
really,
Italian,
that's,
too, by the way.
That's most important.
So it's the end of the summer. It's Labor Day weekend. And everyone is getting ready to close up shop. It's the end of their time together. And everybody's hooking up, trying to get the last bit of sex in before the end of the summer.
Sure.
And Snooki's out on the prowl, but she can't find nobody. She's looking around at all these different guys, trying to come on to them, and nothing's happening. And then she runs into her ex-boyfriend. and she is still got feelings for this boy, and it really rattles her cage. And I can't tell her not from this next clip, but I don't know whether she think it's cool or not cool that she ran into him.
That's not cool. Last person I want to see is my ex. No, that's not cool.
What's she saying?
Is it cool or not cool? I think it's cool. Then Pauly D starts to get all philosophical because his time is running out on the Shore House. They all got to leave. And he's looking back over his relationship with Vinny and the situation, and he realizes that these other guys have come very close to him.
We stayed boys throughout this whole thing. This bond that we share brings us together, and no one can ever take that away from us, ever. Like, we take that with us for life, that bond. That was deep.
Yeah, that was deep.
That was deep.
Yeah. That was. Thank you, Deepak Chopra. Thank you for all that philosophy you taught us by saying you got friends you're going to keep for a while.
Yeah.
Shut up, Pauly D. Well, like I said, it's the end of the summer. Everybody's looking for the last remnants of cheap sex they can get. And it turns out that Snooki can't find none. And the situation can't find none. And yes, you know where this is going.
Yeah.
They end up drunk in a hot tub together.
Oh, no.
And one thing lead to another.
Snooks was looking to have a good time in the jacuzzi. You know, next thing you know, Snooks' clothes just started coming off.
Well, then put them back on! Get some help and put them back on!
Next thing you know, they were just coming off as if it wasn't her taking them off.
Little freaking Oompa Loompa midget, she's carrying up her clothes on.
Yes, it's true.
They started going at it in the hot tub, and it was not a pretty sight.
Oh.
And they already done this once at the beginning of the summer, they hooked up, and now they did it again. And Snooki has an explanation for that.
We hooked up. I knew it was, like, whatever. It's the end of summer. Whatever.
It is the end of summer.
Yeah, well, whatever.
Whatever.
That's right. I agree.
Snooki has no regrets.
I did the same thing that I did the first night, basically. I figure I come in with a bang. I leave with a bang. Whoops.
Oh, yep. You delicate
See?
Young flower.
Yes, she's so nice.
So if you don't care what kind of girl you're going to have sex with, go ahead and go to the Jersey Shore. Sounds like a sure thing, LaQuisha.
That's right. In the situation, looking out over the beach, he sums the whole thing up.
You know, I ran the house from start to finish, whether people liked it or not. I had just a wild time this summer. I did whatever I wanted. I took whatever I wanted. And it was my world.
It's the situation's world.
He can have that
That's
world.
Right.
I gotta
We're
be honest.
Just living in it.
I don't want it.
Uh-huh.
And Snooki, as she closed the door behind her, the last person to leave the Jersey Shore house, she realized that she's not the same person she was when she got there.
I think I've come a long way. I'm mature and I'm a better person, and it really changed me here. The Jersey Shore changed me. What do you know?
She got to the Jersey Shore as a whore. And she left as a slightly tanner whore. She has changed.
She already talked right. about how she was the same person when she came in.
No, but she's changed.
Oh, all right.
Her hair's a little higher. Oh. Her skin's a little darker.
Okay.
And her crotch is a little crabbier.
I can't believe this is going away.
No, what it's happens? Coming back.
That's my question. How long do we have to wait till Jersey Shore Season 2, LaQuisha?
They've just announced Jersey Shore Season 2 will start filming this summer in Seaside Heights with all the favorite cast members coming back.
There you
That's
go.
What I'm talking
All
about.
Right. Very well done. LaQuisha, we've enjoyed hearing from you all season long. Thank you.
Bye now.